scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This seems needlessly cruel. We all get it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You haven't truly lived until you have spent 2.5 hours digging about 4 to 5 pounds of coconut bark and crab shell out of your own butt.
Well, though it may appear that there was nothing going on, I can assure you that there was lots going on underneath, like a swan or Professor Hawking.
I literally have no idea what that sentence means.
Penis slap. 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 Penis slap.
And now.
Penis slap. 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 Penis slap.
All right.
Penis slap. Penis slap.
Our feature presentation.
Not positive that's how you want to start a day. Not positive.
Well, we got our penis slapping out of the way early. There's an advantage to get that off the list.
I dread that every day till it happens. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin DeBeach. It is Thursday, the 18th of June.
It's got to be done, man. Hey, how's everybody? What's going on?
Good?
Yeah, good.
Sounds like it. Wow, a lot of enthusiasm coming back at me. It's going to be a dynamic show today.
Allie has a meeting today. I want to just put this right out there.
Shut up.
She has a meeting today at noon. She thought it was yesterday. So it was about 10:30, and she decided that she was just going to stay here. And so she stayed here for a full hour until 11:30 when she said, is today Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes. And she goes, I don't have a meeting today. And
yeah,
then she left.
Thursday. Today.
Okay. That an I hour. The meeting. She sat here for
today
an hour.
Today you'll probably forget you have the meeting.
Nope. I wrote a note.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's foolproof.
Don't remember where I put it.
Yeah.
But
it's important.
It's probably on your dashboard with everything else.
I felt very Kevin yesterday, though. I felt very Kevin.
That's no way to live a life.
Nope. You can have it.
Hey, you guys ever use – have you ever had occasion to use the find your phone, find your iPad, find your laptop feature? You know that there's an app you can have where you can track your stuff if it's lost or stolen.
Yes.
I don't know if they – I assume they have something comparable for PCs, but I know that's a popular feature of the Apple computers. Have you guys used those at all?
I actually have mine not enabled.
Because you don't want to be tracked,
really? I don't want to be tracked by the man.
That's right. The man will come down on
you. Screw it. I'll buy another phone.
I have
I don't know.
I have a friend who not used it to locate his phone and went and got it from like a totally like a terrible neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he's just like, my phone's in your house. I was like, are you crazy?
Wow.
So tell me about that. So he knocks on the door and he says, hey, my phone's in your house. And then what do they do?
They of course say you're crazy. And he says, no, I have this feature. It's called Find My Phone. And it's showing that it's inside your house. So the parent turned around and walked and found the kid. And the kid was like, yeah, it's in my room.
So the kid had stolen it?
Yep.
How about that?
So the parent made him go get it, handed it to the guy, said, we're very sorry.
Wow.
That is that's the best case scenario. Yes. And that's what you hope. I mean, in your mind, when you follow up with that feature, you're hoping it's going to be as simple a transaction as that. But do you think most people, even if they track the phone and see where it is, you think most people would, on their own, with no backup, no police or anything like that, would go knock on a door of a stranger's house to accuse them of stealing something?
I don't know.
I hope not.
Yeah, that seems dangerous.
Yeah, I think police would advise against it. But then on the other hand, I know if you call and say, hey, I have a phone tracker, I don't think the police are going to jump and say, let me get right to that top of the list.
That is my point exactly, Allie, is I feel like you're between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it's too dangerous to go in on your own. On the other hand, the police don't have time to help everybody track down everything they lose. I mean, if you can afford it, what makes the most sense is just to have your stuff backed up, get a new phone, and then just upload everything again. That way you accept that the phone is gone. But a lot of people can't afford to just out of the blue buy another phone. They got to get their phone back if they're going to have a phone, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, there's a story in the news right now about a young man named Jeremy Cook. He lives in Brampton, Ontario, just outside London in that Canadian province. And he did the Find Your Phone at 5:15 on Sunday morning, Kevin.
Wow.
And he found it. He tracked it down to the neighborhood and went to that address. And the article is unclear at 5:15 in the morning why the people weren't in the house, but there were three people and his phone in a car in the driveway of the house. So he reached in to try to get the phone, and they started to pull away in the car. And then he grabbed onto the handle, driver's side handle of the car. And one of the men in the car pulled out a gun and shot him to death.
Wow. Ugh.
21 years old, by the way, shot to death over looking for his phone. Investigation is continuing. The three men are still at large. They did find the car, by the way, some distance down the road. It had smashed into a telephone pole in an effort to get away fast, I guess. The man's phone was still in the car. Police say the app itself is a great tool to have. Nobody could have ever predicted that what occurred was going to occur. But if you suspect there's any potential for violence, we encourage you to contact the police. We are more than happy to come out and investigate with the hopes of retrieving the phone. Of course, this is Canada. I don't think you'd get the same response if you called, especially in Los Angeles. But that's the last thing you expect. I mean, you expect some blowback, maybe. No, I don't have your phone. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. And then maybe you have a minute to think about what you're going to do. You don't expect you're going to get shot to death over trying to retrieve your phone.
Yeah, I would not think so.
Right?
It seems bad.
I think it would be interesting. That feature has been around long enough. I have a friend also, Kevin, who did the exact same thing as your friend and went into the sketchy neighborhood and did get his phone back in Las Vegas. He was in Las Vegas for a weekend, lost his phone, and tracked it down and got it.
Wow.
I think it's been around long enough that we should do this. We should get a call in, make that a call-in topic and
like
find
it.
Out what people have done and – or, you know, whether they drove by and decided it wasn't worth it, or if they figured out some way to break into that person's house and find it, or what did they do?
I think that's the best thing, is if you can break into their house.
Yeah.
Because they deserve it, right?
That's right, man.
Because you lost your phone.
It's only fair.
Let's say good morning to Kaveh in Upland real quick. Hi there.
What's up?
What's up? You tracked your phone, you went down and you found it?
Yeah, I actually, I lost my phone at the movies. Mm-hmm. And I could not find it. The phone company said there's nothing we can do about it. And I 2 weeks later, I started looking on my Dropbox for some old pictures, and I saw over 300 pictures of this girl.
The person that had taken your phone took pictures of her, and you had it set up so that the pictures automatically go to the Dropbox?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That's a more common story than the Find My iPhone feature. That happens every week in the news. I see somebody stealing electronic equipment and not realizing that it's synced to the cloud in the photos. People get caught all the time like that.
So, Kaveh, was she hot? Are you dating now? What's the end story?
No, I'm happily married for 10 years.
Then you should not date her. Thanks for calling.
No, okay.
So what did you do? Now that you see her, how do you then find her? What did you do next?
I went through all the pictures. I've got a lot of connections. And so I saw a picture that she had taken at her neighbor's house. And I had the license plate that was on the street run to get the address of the house.
What?
Yeah.
This guy's a private eye.
And then I used Google Maps and I looked at Street View and I looked at the house next to it. So I got the address where that person lived. But I felt scared. I was like, no, I'm not going over there to get my phone. So I kept looking through more of the pictures, and I found her doing sign language, and she spelled out her name. And so I ran a search with that name, with that address.
Whoa.
And I got it.
Come
I got her last
on.
Name.
This is a CSI episode. You're just talking about a TV show you watch, right?
Our show's almost over for today. At any point, do you get your phone back?
Yes.
You do, okay.
She goes to the school that I taught at. I walked up to her at the school and pretended like I knew her and then told her that I lost my phone 2 weeks ago at the movies and you were sitting behind me. Do you remember? And she was like, oh, my gosh, yeah. And then I said, yeah, I lost my phone. And then you picked it up and you found it for me and you've been holding on to it for me. So I came to get it from you.
Sweet.
How about that?
Giving her the benefit of the doubt she doesn't pull out a gun.
I can't believe I'm going to make this conversation longer.
Don't do it.
One last question. If she were hot and were uploading naked photos all the time, you never, ever would have looked for that phone, right?
I don't know. I probably would have sent them to you guys.
Well, all right, then. That's the right answer.
That's the right answer. All right, Kaveh, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate that.
All right. Good times. People taking pictures of themselves and advertising they have your phone. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I value confidentiality, and paradoxically, I don't care who knows it.
We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Yeah.
We have the owner of the Clippers, Steve Ballmer, on the show today. Yeah.
Huh.
Guy who bought the Clippers.
Got a new... Is he going to be relentless? Do we know? Is he going to scream at us?
They've got a new logo that they want to talk about and stuff. And
it's weird timing, isn't it?
It's weird timing, yeah. But we're going to talk to him today. We also have Adam Nimoy, Leonard Nimoy's son, talking about raising money for the Spockumentary. We have Jay Onray. Is that how you say it?
It
Fox
is.
Sports 1. And we have in studio Carla Gugino. Right?
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Right. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the showbiz beat next.
106.7 K-Rock.
Oh, is it sweater time already? Can't believe it.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
And it's Ralph Garman with our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Got that, Allie? It's Thursday today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Your meeting is today, Allie.
Thank you.
So just hang around today.
It's going to be funny when you go to your meeting today and you find out that it was yesterday.
Not
it's
going nice.
To be great.
Nope.
Hey, you guys looking for a job that allows you to travel the world and spend time with adorable little children?
Sure.
Sure. I love everything about that. Kim Kardashian's hiring.
What?
Apparently, she's having a hard time handling her daughter, North. And so she's announced to family members she needs to hire on additional staff and help.
What
to raise
a
her child.
Nightmare that would be.
Can you imagine working for that family?
Chris, Anya,
the best
Tanya.
I know, she just has the one kid.
Yes,
right?
She does.
That's right. And no discernible job that she has to be at any particular time, right?
No, not really. No.
Wonder how people do it. Wonder how people raise their children without a staff of hundreds.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
I'm shocked, I say, to find out that Kim Kardashian is a substandard mother. She seems like she'd be all about someone else's needs.
She does seem like
besides
the perfect
her
mom.
Own.
You're right.
And she had such a great example with her own mother. I think that she would just be like falling off a log, if they used to say back on the farm.
Did anyone say that back on the farm?
I don't know. Never been to
tell
a farm.
Tell us at one point that she had a full-time person who takes her photos or does her
no,
makeup.
No, Photoshop. Retouch.
Yeah.
Retouches her photos.
Full-time photoshopper.
So she
take her selfies and to make them perfect.
Before they upload, right? So she's already got that staffer. So now you're saying she's looking to expand.
Well, she's already got a couple.
Yeah, I would guess
nannies.
Hair and makeup people.
Oh, no, nannies.
She has a couple nannies already.
Yes, yes.
A couple of nannies already.
You guys are missing the point. She's already got a staff to help raise her child, but she needs to augment it. She's not enough people are helping. She needs a squadron of caregivers to provide what she herself lacks.
She has another baby coming this year, too.
That's true. So, God help that child. Looks like NBC has reached an agreement that will keep former anchor Brian Williams at the network so they can punish him over and over and over again. No, I don't know why they're keeping him, but he will not be the anchor of the nightly news. Insiders say he will likely be moved over to MSNBC. MSNBC! But he will stay in an on-air position and would also be required... according to Suits, to make a public apology on air, which so far he has refused to do, interestingly enough.
Really?
He knows he was wrong.
Interesting.
Can't change the facts.
I thought he did address it on his NBC Nightly News show and apologize.
Yeah, but it wasn't an apology. It was I misremembered what the incident was. It was just a slimy little sidestep. It was not an apology at all.
And that was just the one incident, and then they found so much more.
Right.
I like that they said, you're not good enough for our main channel, but these other channels...
MSNBC. We're going to have you do hockey. Lester Holt, meanwhile, and his absent upper lip apparently will be staying at the anchor desk for MSNBC, and they're looking to get him a lip.
Is that right?
To help with his performance. So I'm thinking,
that's nice.
I'm Lester Holt. I have no upper lip.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Look, I have never noticed
Lester
that.
Lester Holt has no lip.
Okay, well.
I'm telling the truth. You can't keep the truth hidden forever, NBC. Lester Holt has no upper lip.
I'm Lester Holt, and I'm bringing you the Nightly News.
Where's your lip? Bastard.
He has no upper lip.
What did I say?
Oh, my gosh.
I think you said he has no upper lip.
Thank you, Kevin. Somebody's listening. And in a further effort to make the fashion police unwatchable, E! Has announced Melissa Rivers has been added to the show as the new host
I thought that was canceled. It wasn't canceled?
No, no. Kathy Griffin left.
Oh, okay.
And they put it on life support for a minute while they retooled. And now it's going to be Melissa Rivers and Juliana Rancic and Brad Goreski. And wow.
That's a mess I'm not going to watch.
That's heartburn for the eyes is what that is right there.
Kevin, you're not going to watch that no matter who's hosting it.
That's true.
It's Fashion Police.
But it's hideous.
It's not for you.
It was always bad, but now it's going to be unlistenable and watchable. Watchable.
Right.
Right. The show returns on August the 31st with the coverage of the MTV Video Music Awards. Woo! Woo! What are you wearing, Kesha? Kesha, by the way, got butt implants.
Really?
Yeah. She had her butt fluffed. You know how it is when your butt fluffed. Get your butt fluffed.
I don't know how that is.
Get a fluffy butt. Butt implants. Give the girls a little boost. Boop. Boop. Today's celebrity birthdays. Country singer Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton celebrates his 39th birthday today. Happy birthday, Blake.
You see him on The Voice.
I do see him on The Voice. It makes me want to get my pellet gun and shoot me some possum.
Does he seem like a super hick country guy to you? He doesn't to me. He seems pretty urban to me.
No. Seems like the coolest guy ever. Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney's birthday today. Woo! I'm 73. I should be dead.
Comedian Ben Glebe. You ever watch that show of his, Idiot Test? Idiot Test? Over on GSN?
I do watch that occasionally.
I caught it the other day. Yeah. They were doing like a little marathon, and I caught it. It was a very entertaining show. And mind tests.
Yeah.
Puzzles.
Yeah.
Brain puzzles.
I usually steer away from those.
I'm sure you do.
Keeps you sharp, Kevin.
It really is fascinating how the brain works, but I was really enjoying playing along. He is 37 years old today. And actress Carol Kane. We love Carol Kane. You can see her on Gotham right now as Oswald Cobblepot's mom.
Creepy.
She's creepy. She's been an actress, very good actress, for a long, long time. 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like everything is going pretty well. I'm happy with it so far.
I like
it.
Yeah.
So far today.
Good equipment. Everything's working.
That's right.
We're good.
Congratulations to John Burns from Anaheim. Just got his passes to tour Universal Studios privately with Stryker. Just he and Stryker.
Yep. I don't want to be alone with Stryker, man. I don't know about it.
Yeah.
Scary. They're going to be checking out the Fast and Furious Supercharged ride at Universal Studios. Your chance to win is coming up.
Let's face it, though. If you went anywhere with Stryker, would you be checking out anything other than his tail? Wouldn't that be the only thing you would care about at that point?
Okay.
Are you not fascinated with Stryker's tail?
Not really.
I still am.
No, not really.
Wow. Hey, Thursday morning on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise we'll get our act together. In fact, we'll do that right now with What's Up with Florida.
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
The Sunshine State back in the news. America's penis once again with the greatest stories in the world. This one is very scary. I want to laugh, but it's almost too sad to be funny. She is a Florida woman accused of driving under the influence of alcohol with children in the car. Very scary. This just happened this past Tuesday. A sheriff's deputy in Volusia County noticed that the woman was driving with expired tags on her car and also with a child bouncing around and not buckled into a seat. So he wisely pulled her over. It turns out behind the wheel was a 33-year-old woman named Kateria Thomas, who was drunk at the time, by the way. She had glassy eyes, smell of alcohol. While she was driving drunk, Kevin, she was also breastfeeding a 2-month-old child while driving. While driving drunk.
She's a multitasker.
The deputy said she failed a sobriety test, refused a breathalyzer. She told the deputy that she hadn't been drinking. Listen to this. But she had just eaten 4 hamburgers that had whiskey on them.
What?
Is that a thing? Whiskey on hamburgers?
I mean, they cook all kinds of different food with alcohol, but it usually burns off and you...
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. It doesn't get you drunk. She was arrested on charges of DUI, child acts that could result in harm, and driving without a valid license. By the way, so she's drunk. She's breastfeeding a 2-month-old. She also had a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old in the car with her.
Well, what could have gone wrong?
She's making a lot of very, very poor choices, I think.
We go to Sarasota, Florida for our next story. Here's a man who fell asleep after breaking into a home over the weekend. His name is Timothy Bontrager. He was 29 years old, charged with felony burglary of an occupied dwelling. He broke into a home and fell asleep on the couch while he was in there. The homeowner, who was home at the time, told police that she woke up around 7:20 a.m. and found the man sleeping on her couch. She said, "Hey, what's up?" He apologized. She picked the phone and called the police.
Hey, sorry about that whole "I fell asleep in your house" thing.
By the way, it does say that he was charged with felony burglary. It doesn't say that he made any attempt whatsoever to steal anything. It sounds like he just broke into the house, went to the couch, and went to sleep.
He needed a nap.
Apparently so. So she picks up the phone to call police. Oh, here we go. Then the victim noticed that her wallet, driver's license, credit cards, and checks were missing. Okay, so he actually did steal stuff before he left. So wouldn't you think that you would pick that stuff up and then just get the hell out? Like, what part of your brain says, all right, I got what I came for. I'm getting away with it. Oh, that couch looks so good.
I'm just going to just for a couple of seconds.
Yeah. Just a little nap.
Just a refresher.
He was he did run out of the house. He was found walking along a nearby road, and he was transported to jail without incident. Here's a great story that I didn't think was true until I went to the YouTube channel of the Lee County Sheriff's Office, and there's a great description of the story of Christopher Radecki. He's a 44-year-old man who said that a woman with fangs came to his door and told him that children were going to be sacrificed to vampires unless he got help. So he got in his car and drove to the sheriff's house to try to get him to save the children. Sounds to me like he's doing the right thing at this point. Here's what you see on the video. He pulls into the sheriff's driveway and hits the back of the sheriff's patrol vehicle in the driveway with his own car. He's got his radio turned on and up. He starts dancing along on top of the sheriff's car to the music coming out of the radio. You can see him dancing to "Rich Girl" by Hall & Oates. He's clapping and he's dipping and he's twisting. Then the radio goes into "Goodbye Stranger" by Supertramp.
Nice.
The man on top of the police car goes down on his knees and begins twerking with his hands around his ankles. He slides from the roof of the car as the radio goes to a commercial break. He rips the windshield wiper off the sheriff's police car, hurls it across the lawn, then hops off the vehicle. Then you see him disappearing from the frame for a few minutes, and then he reappears holding an American flag lawn decoration and continues to dance in the yard to "You're the One That I Want" from Grease until police arrive and they cart the man off and he was arrested. Officials say he was not on any drugs or medication. He had not been drinking, and he did not have any mental health conditions.
What?
So,
no, what? Wrong. Lie.
What?
What about the children? How are they? Are they okay?
That's an outstanding question, Allie. What about the children? What about the vampires coming from the children? All right, one more. Now, this is a difficult story because there are a lot of things that we can't say. So let me just remind you that dogs like to lick things. Okay, let me just put that out there, that dogs do enjoy licking things. No. And then completely unrelated to that, here's a young woman who is facing charges after police uncovered multiple cell phone photos of her with a pit bull on her telephone. Bradenton police say they uncovered the photos while working on a sexual battery investigation. It doesn't say how they came across her particular phone. It's unclear in this article whether she was the target of the investigation or somehow they found her while looking for someone else. But she kept images in a folder on her phone called Two-Face Fun. 17 photos of her with her dog. The detectives went to the woman's home to ask her about the dog, whose name is Two-Face, but they did not see any sign of the animal. She told police that she kept the dog at her grandma's house and admits that she would go over to visit him. She also admitted that Two-Face was not the first dog that she had taken pictures with.
What is happening?
You guys with
Florida?
Me here?
Yeah. Yes.
The dog was taken to a veterinarian for an evaluation and was pronounced healthy and probably also very happy, by the way. Bestiality, as it is properly pronounced, I have been told, was legal in Florida until the state finally passed a law forbidding sex with animals in the year 2011. They had to change the wording of the new law a year later in 2012 after a man claimed that the law did not apply to oral sex, only with actual regular sex.
Well, you have to be specific.
You do have to be specific. So I feel like they face obstacles in Florida that the rest of the states manage to avoid. Like every day in Florida, the legislatures must come into session. They go, what do we have to do with the people in this state? How many new laws do we have to pass to stop them from doing dumb things?
But that's a crazy week for all of that to happen in 1 week in one state, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Southwest Airlines.
Mr. Spock's son on the show next hour, Adam Nimoy. TV director, soon to be movie director. He's trying to make a documentary about his famous father, Leonard Nimoy, who's Mr. Spock on Star Trek. He'll be joining us, telling us how we can help. Also, we got Ted 2 tickets for you today from Fox Sports 1. Jay Onright joins us on the program, and actress Carla Gugino. All coming up on K-Rock.
All right, this is a weird story, but go with us here for a second. In Kenya, there is a rhino, and it's a specific rhino called the northern white rhino.
Mm-hmm. And why the rhino? Got to be white.
It's not a wino, it's a rhino. But this particular one is the last male on Earth, and there's two females.
Uh-oh.
So you can imagine everybody's like, hey, this whole thing, they might go extinct if this... And the male rhino just has no interest.
Dude.
He's just not that into him.
Just not that into it.
He's living the dream life. It's him, and there's only two northern white rhino females in the world.
Don't
and
you
they
make
live
a
in
fight
the same
over
place
you?
As him. Yeah.
Make him fight over you. That's what
he should be a player at this point. Now, part
again,
of the problem,
well, hold on. He doesn't have to be a player because he's the only option.
Part of the problem is that his name is Sudan, by the way, which is very confusing because he lives in Kenya, but he is 42 years old, which is old for a rhino. The two ladies that are there in the park are 15 and 25, mm-hmm. and they have not been able to get it going. And there's a very real concern, as Kevin mentioned, that this animal is going to go extinct. We've lost, you know, quite a few animals over the past, 150 years since we've been paying attention to stuff like this, and they're doing everything they can. Now, Kevin, you may have read more on this than I have. Why, if it's not going to happen naturally, why is artificial insemination not the way to go, or some sort of way that they could just harvest and make it happen in a laboratory?
I believe they're trying that as well.
Yeah, they're
so
consulting.
Far,
they're trying everything.
Nothing's sticking, huh? Well, we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who can we talk to? And believe it or not, Sudan himself, the last northern white rhino in the world, can talk to us on a telephone, which is very impressive. Hi, Sudan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, Sudan, you sound exhausted.
I'm not exhausted, I'm just old.
Okay.
Okay. Well, listen.
Damn women, nag, nag, nag. Oh, you sound tired, shut up.
I hear you, Sudan, I hear you, brother.
Are you with me, fellas?
We are with you.
All right.
So, look, what's the story here? You're the last northern male white rhino in the world. You don't want the species to be extinct with you. Why don't you get on this and make it happen?
Well, a lot of people say, aren't you concerned being the last of your kind? And I say, I don't give a rat's ass!
Wow. So it's no big deal to you if there aren't any more because you'll be dead, so it won't affect you.
Exactly. I'm tired. I just want to watch my stories.
Sure, I understand.
I like to kick back.
What are your stories?
Sweet tea and watch a little television. Is that so much to ask at this stage in my life?
Well, I don't think they're asking you to, to go around the clock, but they just want you to do it occasionally.
Well, they say, why don't you mount one of these females?
Right.
Uh-huh.
I say, why don't you mount me right here?
That's what you say,
Sudan. I want to watch some Sports Center and just relax, take a nap.
Uh-huh.
No, have sex with these females.
Now, are the females being mentioned that one is 25, one is 15? Are they attractive?
They're okay, I suppose, but they're dumb.
Well,
they don't get any of my references.
What?
Try to talk to you about what's happening, and then let's look at you funny.
Yeah, well, they are a different generation, Sudan.
That's what I'm saying, different generation. And
right.
Where were these young rhino girls when I was young? All they wanted was the black rhinos.
Oh, well.
They have bigger horns.
Oh, I see.
Well, who's laughing now? Me!
Sudan, let me ask you this, because I wondered if this was playing a part. You also, because of the fear of poaching there in Kenya, very serious problem, you also have a full-time human guard with you. Now,
I do.
Does that inhibit you a little bit?
Very nice fella named Mike.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike. Okay.
And he's a very nice fellow. We hang out and we have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he's there with a gun to make sure nobody tries to poach me.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It is, but I wonder who's trying to poach old white rhinos? That's what I keep asking. Mike, where's the danger, Mike? And he says, I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but he smiles a lot, and that's something.
I love that the rhino speaks English, but Mike, his handler, does not.
I don't know what Mike's got going on, but maybe Mike could take on one of these female rhinos.
I don't know. They're not looking for that kind of
action.
Yeah,
that's not what we're
Well,
that's
not what I heard about in Florida.
Well, so you don't feel any pressure that, I mean, your whole species, it depends on you.
I don't like my species.
You don't? Oh.
They're a bunch of dumbasses,
okay.
And they're slow. And they're wrinkly, and
right.
They don't smell so good.
Okay.
So maybe it's just the Lord's way. Maybe it's time to thin the herd down to nothing.
Well, I'd be sad to see that happen, but it's your choice, Sudan.
It is my choice, and my choice is to just lay down. And if I want to give my sperm to someone, it should be my choice. They keep coming to me saying, oh, we're going to try in vitro fertilization.
Yeah, they're
Can
trying to
go
everything.
Into this office and choose from a selection of magazines and DVDs and just fill this cup. And I say, I have no hands.
I never thought about it.
Right. How's a rhino supposed to help himself? All I have is these hooves. You ever grab your penis with a hoof?
I never have.
No day at the beach, I'll tell you that much.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Hey, it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on, sir?
Well, it's kind of exciting. Kind of exciting news. As a podcaster myself, it's kind of cool to watch podcasts come of age, and they certainly have, with the announcement that Marc Maron, on his legendary podcast, WTF, is going to interview the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama.
That seems like a decent guest.
Yeah. This is a big step for podcasters. The fact that they can pull a guest of that caliber. Of course, Mark's been at it for a long time. He's one of the pioneers of podcasting. But it says that the president will be joining Mark in his garage studio tomorrow. And it will be available on Monday for you to listen to. It's, Mark said in this statement, it's a big day for our country, for me, and for my cats.
Hmm.
I'm looking forward to a respectful conversation with the president. I'm calling it the WTF Summit. I hope he's cool with that. So we'll wait and see. But Marc Maron talking to the president on a podcast.
I think this president, of course, he's younger than most. Who knows? He may even listen to podcasts. I don't know how much time he has, but he's certainly young enough he might. But he did Bill Simmons' podcast last year, too, remember?
Yeah.
So he's no stranger to the format, but that's still awesome. It's nice to see Mark getting that kind of respect. I think it's going to be a great interview, too.
Well, look, if Hillary Clinton can listen to Pumpin' Blood by No, 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 I think
right?
Marc Maron's probably on the president's iTunes.
I'm not positive that Hillary
It was
Clinton.
Released.
Right, I know.
Her Spotify song...
She can't lie about
right.
that.
It was released.
Kevin.
Jesus. Right, sure.
Kevin, have a little faith.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, the Foo Fighters have canceled their headlining appearance at Glastonbury Music Festival because of Dave's leg injury. Florence and the Machine will step up and take the lead slot. Pretty cool.
All right.
They only hire people with bad feet and legs, Glastonbury, apparently. She'll be hobbling on stage. Dave will be hobbling around. The band gets the big pyramid stage slot on Friday, June the 26th, and it's very exciting for them. Of course, she is still recovering from her broken foot because Bean stepped on her foot. But
I didn't step on her foot at all, by the way.
That's how it got broken. Yep. Mm-hmm. In more music news, Deadmau5 does not strike me as someone with a sense of humor. And apparently this is all coming to fruition because he... has sent a cease and desist letter to the Toronto Fringe Arts Festival. Toronto Fringe Arts is a great festival. And they do avant-garde musical comedy and sketches and music as well. It's a great arts festival. There is a parody musical set to premiere there next month called Deadmau5 the Musical, about a mouse that wants to be a house DJ but is discriminated against for being a mouse. Think Ratatouille meets Book of Mormon, they write. The lead character's name is Joel Zimmermaus. And apparently it's a little too close to home for DJ Deadmau5 because his real name is Joel Zimmerman. Other characters include David Guda, Avicii's.
have the cheese.
And Sal sounds very funny, and Dead Mouse said, no, don't you do that, sir. I got no place else to go. So he is claiming intellectual property violations against the production and going to sue them if they mount it and saying it will diminish certain endeavors of his. Oh, shut up.
That seems a little lame.
You wear a giant clown head. A giant mouse clown head. Stop it.
And you spell your name with a five.
Yes, stop it. Just let them do their thing and you do yours. No one's going to confuse the two. They, oh, we thought this was real Dead Mouse here. Stop it, people. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
David Guetta, you guys. That's funny.
See? See yeah. what you did there?
That's good.
Courtney Love does not want you to see Soaked in Bleach. That new unauthorized Kurt Cobain documentary about his passing. You know why she doesn't want you to see it?
Because it's
killed him. The,
yeah,
that's right. Why. It's science.
I don't think it's science.
Why else wouldn't she want you to see it, Kevin? Unless it was the truth. Aha!
It does claim.
Look at you all tongue-tied.
It does claim that she killed Kurt. I mean,
well,
that is.
Technically, it says there's a lot of unanswered questions surrounding his death.
Right.
Wink, wink, point, point. She is also filing a cease and desist order.
Against Dead Mouse?
No, this one's against any movie theater that shows the film. She claims the documentary, which uses reenactments as well as interviews with pertinent personnel surrounding Kurt's death, that it accuses her of arranging the murder of her husband. And she says that false accusation is a criminal behavior. It's defamatory. And she was going to sue anyone who shows the movie. You know what? This is a movie no one was going to see,
yeah,
Courtney, and now everybody's interested in it. So, well played. You sure showed them. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about movies, this is insane, but in the best possible way. They're making a movie about Groucho Marx. Legendary comedian Groucho Marx. Kevin, he must be one of your favorites.
Don't know anything about
because he was very popular in the 30s and was only in black and white. And you probably love that.
Those are the two things I go for.
Listen, let me tell you something, Kevin. Groucho Marx is one of the great movie comedians of all time.
All right.
Of all time.
Okay.
He never ran into a sheet of glass.
All right.
But
see?
Boy, is he funny.
So he wasn't the best.
And he was funny on television in the 50s. Funny his whole life. Funny, funny, funny. You know what he was?
Funny.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making a movie about his life based on the book called Raised Eyebrows, My Years Inside Groucho's House. It was written by his personal secretary and archivist, Steve Stoliar. And it's a great book. I've read it. And it's a fascinating story. And he lived with Groucho towards the end of his life, but really has stories and really has, you know, was privy to Groucho's innermost thoughts about his entire career. So they're going to make a movie based on this book. The fascinating part is who the director will be.
Who the director will be.
He's a filmmaker. He's made several films, but nothing along the lines of this.
Michael Moore.
Nope.
Uwe Boll.
Nope.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I wish.
Nope. Oh, that'd be a twist ending. Groucho Marx actually turns out to be Karl Marx. Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie is developing and directing this film. Can you imagine?
All right.
The Thousand Corpse guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Friday the 13th guy.
Yeah.
Or Halloween, rather.
Yeah.
He deals mostly in bloodshed.
He does, yes. Sure.
Not so
horror
much,
and hockey. Those are his things.
Not so much grease paint and cigars you think of with Rob Zombie.
All right.
That is fascinating.
Rob says, I've been a huge Groucho Marx fan ever since I was a child, read countless books on the comic legend, but after reading the book Raised Eyebrows, a totally new perspective on Groucho's life emerged. I immediately saw this project as Groucho's Sunset Boulevard, and I knew I had to bring it to the big screen. It is sad, funny, and a very dark tale of one of Hollywood's greatest stars' final years. So, Rob Zombie developing a Groucho Marx movie.
Take my money now, Ralph.
That would be
seriously
pretty cool.
Sounds
I think
great.
He's a good filmmaker, and I'm glad he's reaching out. Of course, I'm a little steamed that he never made his Broad Street Bully movie that he promised me years ago. But I'll forgive him if he makes this Groucho movie. Today's celebrity birthdays, country singer Blake Shelton is 39 years old today. You know him as one of the judges on The Voice. Paul McCartney was in a little band called The Beatles back in the day. Now he mostly writes about not eating meat. He's 73. Ben Glebe, comedian and TV game show host, does the idiot test over on GSN, 37 years old today. And actress Carol Kane celebrates her 63rd birthday. She's Mama Penguin on Gotham.
I don't think that's her character. But,
no.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, my Oswald, you are such a good boy, Oswald.
She gets in the bathtub with him. It's creepy.
Yeah, it's
no,
just
it's
a lot
not.
Of boink, boink,
it's
boink,
very
boink,
creepy.
Boink, 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 boink. Penguin's putting his beak where it doesn't belong. You know what I'm saying? Right? I'm Ralph Carmen. I walk the show of his beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Very excited to welcome one of the hosts of Fox Sports Live's coverage on Fox Sports 1, Jay Onright. Usually we have Jay in here with his good friend Dan, but we got him on the phone today. How are you, sir?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Allie. How
Hi,
are you
Jay.
Guys doing?
Very good.
We're doing great. Thanks so much for jumping on. We know how busy you are. I want to start by asking, we look at you as the superstars of the Fox Sports empire. Why are you guys not in Canada leading the coverage of the Women's World Cup effort?
Couple of reasons, and before we get to that, I just want to apologize to all your Mexican-American listeners for apparently using a derogatory Mexican-American term last time when I was on with you. I didn't realize Beaner, which I thought was a nice nickname, was a derogatory yes. term for Mexican-American.
Well, Jay was trying to give me a Canadian-appropriate nickname.
That's what happens when you come from Canada, man. You don't understand how it works.
We don't have a lot of Mexican-Americans in Canada, so I was not familiar with the vernacular. I apologize.
I remember thinking, this guy's really edgy. I didn't realize that. I figured you knew.
The reason we're not in Canada, it's kind of twofold. Number one, speaking of immigration, we've applied for green cards, so we can't leave America for the next 6 months.
Oh,
and the second reason is my wife and I just had a baby. That's why I'm up so bright and early.
Wow.
We're trying to get her back to sleep. Get to sleep!
Well, congratulations. Now, in your heart, who do you root for in the Women's World Cup? America, your new country, or Canada, your birth country?
I'm so torn because now we have an American baby. Like, we have a little baby born here in Los Angeles. It's so exciting for us. But my wife has already basically told me that this child, when she eventually becomes the greatest hockey player since Cammy Granato, will have to go play for Canada and not America. So I guess I have to cheer for the Canadians. But please don't tell Rupert Murdoch that as he
yes.
exits the Fox company.
Exactly. All right, one more soccer question. Then we got a lot of other stuff we want to move on to, and that is with your expertise in the sport and knowing how good the American ladies have been for so long, how far do you see them going in this tournament, Jay?
I think it's like the momentum is starting to build now, guys, because it was kind of looking lackluster, let's be honest, in the first couple of games of the Women's World Cup, but the last game against Nigeria was so nice because you see Abby Wambach. By the way, we're calling her Abby Wambach for the first, 15 years of her career, and then all of a sudden she tells us at age 35 as her career winds down, oh, by the way, you've been pronouncing my name wrong the entire time. It's Wambach now.
Wow.
And anyway, she scores, and it was just one of those things where you see now the momentum is starting to shift for the Americans. So next they'll play Colombia. That will be this Monday on our network, Fox Sports 1. We actually have something that your viewers may want to watch for once.
I got to tell you, I love the Women's World Cup, and I want to give them props as turning soccer around, maybe, because men's soccer, they do nothing but dive. Women, there's none of that.
Play.
None
yeah.
of there's no diving from women, and I love that.
And you know what the best thing is, guys? This is my favorite part. I mean, I agree. I think that soccer's been terrific, and I think the coverage has been great. But my favorite part is that if someone does get knocked down or if someone suffers an injury, the women are so much different than the men. The women from the opposing team will actually help the other woman up off the pitch or perhaps even massage their cramp on the pitch as the game is still going on.
It does happen.
It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing.
I'm sorry. Does that hurt? Aww.
They take care of us better than men.
It's
That's
pretty
what
sweet.
We've learned.
They are. Absolutely.
All right. Listen, this is the voice of Jay Onright here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Fox Sports Live on Fox Sports 1. We are talking to Steve Ballmer later on this morning, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. Kevin and I were discussing earlier today, this seems like an odd time within 48 hours of the end of the NBA season to already start talking about next year, but he's doing a little bit of rebranding. I know you and Dan have talked about this on your show already. What do you think's going on? Like, what's Steve's message here? What's he trying to do?
Well, I guess because the new logo leaked already, a month or so ago, he figures, all right, season's over. I got to get this officially out there. He goes on Conan last night. He shows the logo officially. I can't understand this, guys. Have you heard a single person that you've talked to anywhere
including your producer and Clippers fan, Christine Fung, say that they like this logo? Because everyone I've talked to or everyone who's talked about it on social media says they hate it. Did Steve, and listen, all due respect to Steve, I think we appreciate Steve as an owner of this team more than the last owner.
Oh, no question, yeah.
There's no question about that. But all due respect, did Steve just doodle that himself in the margins of an old Microsoft notebook and then say to himself, that looks good, but then not show anyone and just say, this is the logo? Or did he actually brand this thing, go to a branding company, get this made up, and then have them come back and just say, yeah, I like that. Like, it seems like no one likes this logo.
I only looked at it because we're having Steve on later today, and I thought, it's not that different. I mean,
yeah, that's the other thing. You're right. It's not the, I mean, other than that interlocking LAC, which looks like the at symbol on Twitter, there's nothing that much different about it. And I guess for me, I'm thinking this is a team now that Ballmer came in that was going to totally rebrand, do something completely different, really leave the past behind, the years of losing, the years of futility. I guess I'm just shocked. It's not what I expected, but I'm sure Steve will come on, and he's such a charming guy, he'll somehow charm us all into bringing us to the greatest logo.
Oh, that's the greatest logo I've ever seen. It's relentless.
All right, Jay, one more question for me, and I get a lot of flack here. I don't know what it's like on your set, but I'm pretty much alone as being a big baseball fan here in this room. I can't get excited about this so-called hacking scandal. The Cardinals, who are one of the most storied franchises in baseball, for folks who don't know, they had a general manager, I guess it was, who left from the St. Louis organization to go to Houston, but didn't change his password, so they were kind of able to get in on the Houston site and take a look at some of their changes and trades and stuff like that. And apparently it's a big deal. It's some sort of corporate espionage. Should we care about this or should we not?
It's only interesting because you're right, exactly. This is what happened. The Cardinals had an executive, Jeff Luhau, who went from the Cardinals to Houston in 2011, and now it comes out that some senior members of the Cardinals actually hacked into Houston's scouting database. What's weird about it, or the only thing that's interesting about it, is that the Cardinals are traditionally one of the greatest franchises in baseball, and the Houston Astros are a disaster. Yeah. So why you would want to hack in other than just to stick it to this guy who left your franchise, nobody can seem to understand it. It would literally be like the Lakers in their prime hacking the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. But my favorite line from this executive who left the Cardinals to the Astros, because they're saying, well, they were able to hack his password and all this database because he hadn't changed his passwords when he was with the Cardinals in 2003 to when he went to the Houston Astros in 2011.
Pretty sweet.
And he said, and I quote, I absolutely know about password hygiene. Is password hygiene a term that people actually use?
I hope not, because I don't know anything about it then.
I brought this up to Allie, who's a big Patriots fan, and I said, why would the Cardinals cheat? You know, why do the Patriots cheat? And what did you say, Allie? If you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
I don't believe I said that, Bean. I believe you said that to me.
Mm. That sounds like something a Patriots fan would say, though.
Yeah.
Exactly what he did. And
here's what I know. I know that even the scandals in baseball are boring.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Like this Royals all-star voting scandal, right? Like,
yes.
The Kansas City Royals are leading every category in all-star voting, every single one. And listen, there's lots of good players in the Royals. Players who deserve to be at the All-Star game, Salvador Perez, Alex Gordon, but like Omar Infante, their second baseman, is hitting .210 through Monday, and he's leading the All-Star voting for second baseman. So this is another scandal that, while we're talking about it at Fox, I don't know who's getting excited about the Kansas City Royals other than anyone in Kansas City. That's
yes,
the problem
exactly.
with baseball right now. It's so regional. We love our Dodgers here, but other than that, we probably don't want to hear about the Milwaukee Brewers or anyone else. I'm really picking on Milwaukee.
It's all right.
You really kind of are. You
okay.
really kind of are. So. All right. Well, listen, we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I'm sure you and Dan will have much more to say on these topics and a lot else. You air at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Jay, congratulations on the baby. Congratulations on the path to citizenship. It's always a thrill to have you on the show, and we'll do it again soon, sir.
We finally have our anchor, baby, guys. God bless you. Have a great one.
See ya. All right, we have tickets for Ted 2.
Tickets we do. For TED 2, the screening of it. If you would like to win those, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to play a game and win those tickets.
I've got a TED question for you, Ralph.
Oh, Christ.
Because I saw the commercials a lot for TED 2,
yes.
which is coming up very soon, June 26th. We're giving away tickets for the K-Rock screening at the Grove right now on the 23rd. Is there an actual physical TED when they're shooting the movie, or are the actors like Mark Wahlberg reacting to something that's not there and they put it in a post?
Wow, man. Why do you have to pee on the mat? Why do
you
have
to pull back a curtain? No, I'm not. I'm curious. I don't know how it's worked. Is it all done with special
effects? But if you find out, maybe you won't enjoy it as much.
Right. Why do you want to ruin the magic?
You don't want to see how what is
you don't
want to
see how the hot dog is made, then you won't eat it.
Right.
Come on now.
Ted's a magical bear who's come to life.
Right.
Okay.
All right, I guess it is.
I didn't realize know. That. I'm sorry. Hey, let's give away some tickets with a game that we like to call, what are we calling it?
Barely Famous.
We're playing Barely Famous Bears. Tattoo ticks, if you care. Ralph Garman will give you if you're right. We're playing Barely Famous Bears. Come on, show me your underwear. Tattoo is sure to be out of sight.
Barely Famous.
I have to show my underwear?
I don't understand that part.
I don't either. Barely Famous. You know, Ted, of course, perhaps one of the most famous fictional bears.
Wait, it's fictional?
In all of moviedom. But there's been a lot of famous bears over the years that we've enjoyed in movies and TV shows and books and whatnot. A ton of famous bears.
Barely Famous Bears.
So I thought we would ask trivia questions about some other famous bears.
Barely Famous Bears.
And see what our listeners know about Barely Famous Bears.
Barely Famous Bears.
Why don't we move on from the theme and maybe meet our first contestant from Los Angeles? He is Josh. He is on line one, and he's up first. So they come up with the famous bear. They win tickets to the K-Rex screening of TED 2.
It's just that simple. Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Josh, here's your Barely Famous Bear question. This bear of very little brain lives in the 100-acre wood with a donkey, a pig, and some other animals. Hint, it's not Kevin.
How dare you?
Is it Honey the Pooh?
What? Is it what now?
Honey the Pooh.
Honey the Pooh?
Did you say Honey the Pooh?
He loves honey.
Fail is correct.
He loves some honey, but his name is Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
This is why you fail.
Yeah. Josh, that was strong.
Thank you for playing with Josh.
Honey the Pooh.
Honey the Pooh.
Yeah. Oh, bother.
Let's go to Chris in Glendale. Hi, Chris. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
He has no time for our shenanigans. Here's your question. This was one of the most
dumbfounded by Honey the Pooh.
Yeah, honey,
we all are. We're all a little winded.
That was odd.
This bear was one of the most popular toys of the 1980s, an animatronic toy whose mouth and eyes moved while he read kids' stories.
Crap.
Hugely popular toy in the 1980s.
Yeah, I wasn't born until 87.
Still around. It was still around. When you were born and after.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Teddy Ruxpin was his name. Teddy Ruxpin.
Even in TED 1. How did I know that? Nothing.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. They mentioned him in TED 1. You're right.
Thanks for calling, Chris. So 0 for 2 so far. Again, the game is called Barely Famous.
Barely Famous Bears.
Let's go to John.
These bears are pretty famous, by the way.
Yeah. Barely Famous
especially,
Bears.
Especially Honey the Pooh.
Let's go to John in Fontana. Hey there, John.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, John. How you been doing so far with the questions?
Oh, 0 for 2 myself.
0 for 2.
All right.
This should go well then.
Looking good.
Turn it around.
This
should go well then. This cartoon bear spends his days frustrating Ranger Smith in Jellystone Park.
Yogi the Bear.
Yogi Bear. We'll take
close
it.
Enough.
Close enough.
Close enough.
You're going to see TED 2. Hold on. We're going to give you all details, okay?
Thank you. Let's go to Charlene in Culver City.
Charlene. I wonder if she's ever been to
Hi.
Her.
Hi.
Charlene, here's your question. This
Barely Famous Bears.
Bear. This bear has always put way too much pressure on me by insisting only you can prevent forest fires.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey
nice.
The Bear is right.
Done.
Saw that commercial. I kept running around in the forest trying to put out fires. Only you can prevent. Me? I'm the only one?
It's a lot of pressure
for a kid.
A lot of
pressure
a
for
yep.
a kid.
You're right.
You're right.
Let's go to Michael in Walnut. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Michael. These beloved multicolored bear characters were on everything from greetings cards to TV shows in the 1980s and throughout. A bunch of multicolored bears all hung out together and taught us important lessons about life and love.
The Free Tree Greetings Bears, the Care Bears.
Oh, he beat the buzzer. Yeah.
How did that happen?
How did you come up with that?
I don't know, because I was just looking around, and my sister has one, so.
Wow, what you're lucky chances. You're creeping out in your sister's room.
That's odd.
We don't want to know anything else.
When your sister wakes up, give her our best.
And put those panties back in the drawer, please.
Wow.
All right.
It just got dark.
That went all right, so
we got
fast.
Three winners already. We've got time for a couple more real fast.
Let's go to, where are we, Peter?
Peter, yes.
Peter?
Yes.
You ready for your barely famous bear?
Yes, sir.
All right. I sure would have expected a little intro music there, but what do I know? This stand-up comedian bear may be the only bear in our contest whose best friends include a frog and a pig. Stand-up comedian bear, his best friends are a frog and a pig.
It's a good hint. It's a good, real good hint.
A frog and a pig.
That's a better hint.
Waka, waka, waka.
Ah!
Trying.
Fozzie Bear. We're looking for Fozzie Bear from the Muppets.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure enough. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Tony in Los Angeles. Hey, Tony.
Boy.
Hey, that was fun.
I thought these were so easy. I really
did.
Tony, here's your barely famous bear question.
Barely famous bears.
This bear taught Mowgli the Jungle Boy all about life's necessities.
You mean the bear necessities?
Yes,
but it would be Baloo.
Baloo the bear! Nice. Well done, sir.
All right, hold on, please.
That's impressive. All right, one more.
We have one more. It is Nicole in Ontario. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, what a do.
what a do, indeed. Nicole. Here's your barely famous bear question.
Okay.
This British bear loves marmalade and was discovered in a famous railway station in London by the human Brown family who adopted him.
Is it Paddington?
It is Paddington Bear. Well done. You're going to see Ted, too.
Congratulations. And thanks for playing the game.
Barely famous.
We can help, Ralph.
Nope. No need.
I'm saying we can
have the title
I got
too,
this.
Though, right?
I got this. I got it. Go take a coffee break. Go get an iced coffee.
Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:40.
So you go on the Kickstarter and you type in these words, for the love of Spock, and you will see a Kickstarter for a documentary that sounds like it must be made. Listen up.
Hi, I'm Adam Nimoy. Last year, my father and I began working on a documentary about the life of Mr. Spock. We were both very much aware that the 50th anniversary of Star Trek the original series was coming up in 2016. A documentary based primarily on Mr. Spock had never been done before. As most of you know, on February 27th, my father passed away. Now I will not only be paying tribute to Mr. Spock, but to the life of Leonard Nimoy as well. Live long and prosper.
The goal is $600,000. The Kickstarter is up until July 1st, and Adam is over halfway there, but he still needs your help. We welcome filmmaker Adam Nimoy to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Good, Adam. Doing great.
I have to say, buddy, that I was stunned that you're only halfway there for this project, considering that your father created one of the most iconic, famous fictional characters in history. You would think that everyone who he has touched over the years, all the Star Trek fans, even the casual fans, would be willing to pony up a couple dollars to hear the behind-the-scenes story of this fascinating tale.
Well, yeah, we are a little surprised ourselves. We think it's a question of just getting the word out and trying to energize the fan base. We're really on track to make our funding goals, so we're not that concerned about that, but we are not giving up on pushing the message out to as many people as possible.
Sure. Now, and for people who haven't been to the Kickstarter page, who may not know why so much money is required, talk about some of the challenges that you faced to get this movie made.
Well, first of all, I want to say good morning to you guys, Kevin, Bean, and Allie. And Ralph, are you on as well?
I am, Adam. Yes.
Yep, we're all here.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me on, Ralph. I know you're a big fan.
Huge.
I just got to say, yeah, but Ralph, I was looking at your webpage here. You do all the impressions for Bill Shatner, George Takei. Leonard Nimoy is not on the list. Is that correct?
I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't even dare to attempt it because he's so amazing. I couldn't even come close. There's only one, Adam.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ralph. I appreciate that. The point is, the movie, it's complicated to make a documentary. This one in particular is very complicated because I got to use film clips, and lots of them, of Spock, and he's appeared in TV and in film, for the past 50 years, not to mention the still photographs that we need. All of this stuff has to be licensed from the various powers that be, and it's not inexpensive. That's a big part of it.
Doesn't it chap your ass just a little bit that Paramount couldn't come through and say, you know what, here you go. We'll waive the licensing fee because of what your dad meant to the franchise and for what you're trying to do.
Well, they're working with us. Let me say that. They're going to help us get everything we need within the budget that we have. So okay. they're definitely working with us, but we still need to, you know, it's a business.
Right.
And we still need to pay for a number of elements that we need to have in the film. Plus, we have production days. Yesterday, I had a full day of interviews with Bill Shatner, George Takei, and Walter Koenig. That costs money, and it's coming out of my pocket right now because I'm taking a leap of faith that we're going to make our funding, you know, amount and have the money we need to continue on with the project. But the project's going to get made no matter what.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think your father, that you could do a whole documentary just on his life, let alone his work as Spock, because I remember seeing him on stage in his one-man show, Vincent, and I just think he was a remarkable artist in a lot of ways, a photographer and a writer as well. How much are you going to cover in the documentary about Spock, and then how much about your dad? Because I know you're trying to service both.
Right. I think it's going to probably still be Spock-centric, and by that I mean the majority will be based on the creation and evolution and life of Spock and the impact of Spock on pop culture. And then because my dad passed away, this is originally going to be just a Spock project. Since dad's passing and this outpouring of emotion from fans all over the world about how they felt about Leonard Nimoy because he had an incredible career, we will also be paying tribute to him. But, you know, what the percentage is going to be, I'm not really sure. But the movie was really intended to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the original series, and as Spock is obviously his most popular and most well-known role, we're going to pay more attention to him. So we'll see when we get in the editing room what the balance is going to be, but it's mostly going to be kind of focused on Mr. Spock.
Right.
That's the voice of Adam Nimoy here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his Kickstarter project that is up now. It has 13 days to go in its attempt to make a $600,000 goal to make a documentary called For the Love of Spock. And as Ralph mentioned, your dad did so many things. I mean, in my mind, he's, you know, Mission Impossible guy. That's how I think of him as well. What was his relationship like with the character throughout his life? Were there times where he thought it was a burden to him that people identified him so closely with Spock, and other times that he embraced it? Did it vacillate at all, or was it fairly consistent in your knowledge?
Well, it was pretty consistent that he was very proud of the work he had done as Spock. Unfortunately, in the mid-70s, he wrote an autobiography, and he entitled it, mistakenly, I Am Not Spock. And that caused a lot of controversy. He wasn't really trying to distance himself from the character so much as to say that he was an artist. He is an actor, and right. He wants to be challenged. And he did the Spock role. He did it well. He's proud of what he did. But he's also interested in pursuing other aspects of his career, other ways to challenge himself as an artist. So Spock is always, you know, it was a mixed message. He's always loved the work he did. He's very proud of the work he did. I told him shortly before he died that I had watched a couple episodes, and I was blown away by the power of the character and the power of his performance. And he told me he was, at that point in his career, he was really at the top of his game. And I think he's, you know, always carried that. When he went into the Star Trek movies, he wanted to play the role. He was interested in being involved in the project, but he wanted to challenge himself to do something more. And that's why he became a director behind the camera, involved with that franchise.
What do you think the secret was behind the character of Spock? Because he's emotionless, and all of the things that surround that character seem like they wouldn't be likable, but somehow it lands, and everybody loved him so much.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's not. We talked a lot about this with my dad, and he's talked a lot about his relationship to the character and how he approached the character. It wasn't for him so much that Spock didn't have emotion, because he had a half-human side. So he did have emotions, but he had a half-Vulcan side, the logic side. His objective was to control those emotions, was to keep them in check, was an internal kind of a battle going on with inside of himself. And you can see that in his face. You know, it was interesting to me that very shortly before he died, he reminded me that Spock was the only alien on the core Enterprise crew on the bridge, the only alien. And as such, he had to figure out a way to kind of integrate himself to the group, to give what he had to give to the whole, to the betterment of the many. that was very much who he was when he was growing up in Boston. He was the son of Russian immigrant parents. They lived in an immigrant neighborhood. And his whole objective as a young man was to figure out a way to transcend that and assimilate himself into the greater whole of society. So that's the kind of, you know, he brought that personal element to Spock, which really gave the character an internal dynamic that was very interesting to always watch, even when he was not necessarily saying anything.
And Adam, you mentioned you talked to Bill Shatner this week and with Walter and with George, and it seemed like there was a lot of tensions on the original series set between certain actors back and forth, but your dad seemed universally loved by everybody he worked with. What was the quality about him that made everyone love and respect him so much?
Well, you know, it was always about the work. Everything that he did was about the work, and a lot of the conflict and tension that sometimes happened on the set was about the work, was the fact that he cared so much about the character. But in terms of working with other people, I mean, Dad had a real professionalism to him. He was prepared. He was on time. He was collaborative. And he was, you know, always willing to help other people. I mean, there was a lot of situations where Dad interceded on the behalf of other cast members who were not necessarily treated fairly in various aspects of how Star Trek was on the air and the animated series. So, I mean, he spoke up for a number of crew members to help them and was always supportive. I mean, with George Takei, he would go to premieres. He would go to his shows. He went to see him in Equus and in his in Allegiance, his new play. Walter Koenig, he would go to watch him get his star on the Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, Dad was a really supportive and caring guy, and he was very collaborative, which I think was why he was such a good director.
All right, last question for me, Adam, and that is the pictures that you have on the Kickstarter page of you as a little boy with the Spock ears on the set with your dad while he's making Star Trek. You look like you're what, 8, 9 years old about that time, I guess?
Yeah, I was 9. I was 9 years old, exactly.
What's that like for you when all of us as 9-year-olds were obsessed with Star Trek to actually be there and watch your dad play Mr. Spock?
I was excited. You know, I really, this is before the show even aired, because that picture was taken in July of 66. It didn't air until September 8th. I was just enthralled to be there. It was a wonderland. It was so creative, so interesting to watch the crew at work, to see everybody in costume, to be in the makeup trailer, watch them put his ears on, and to see him working with Bill and DeForest Kelly, watch those guys work together was to actually see it in person, like you're at a stage play, was actually, you know, it's absolutely amazing. And one of the things they talked about was Dad was always in character. He, even when the director said cut, everybody would break up and laugh, and Bill Shatner would be cracking jokes. But Dad was always reserved and trying to stay Spock-like, and they were always trying to crack him up and get him to crack his smile. And this was the whole thing that why they put the ears on me. They cut my hair. They put the ears on me. They put me in the turbo lift. They rolled the film. Kirk was on the planet, and Spock was in the captain's chair. They rolled the film. The turbo lift opens, and I walk out and go to him and give him a kiss and say, hi, Dad.
Does that footage exist, Adam?
It's we're looking for it. I got to tell you, I want to use it in the film.
Sure,
it's out there. A bad copy is out there, and we're looking for it. It's on a gag reel, with, you know, and Dad managed to crack a smile at that moment.
Oh my gosh! Well, yeah. Thank you, Ralph, for bringing this Kickstarter to our attention. Adam, thank you for the hard work that you're doing on behalf of your father, because this movie sounds like it is going to be awesome, and I have every confidence that you'll get the money you need. So, again, go to Kickstarter. For the Love of Spock is the name of the documentary from Adam Nimoy. 13 days to go. It closes on July 1st. Let's get some money in the coffers and get this thing made, because we all can't wait to see it. So glad we had a chance to spend a few minutes with you, Adam. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much, you guys, and live long and prosper.
And it is 7:56.
Actress Carla Gugino joins us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour. Kevin, you just saw her in the San Andreas, right?
I did, yes.
Who is she? She's The Rock's ex-wife in the movie, right?
Yes, I think.
You sound very confused. All right.
You saw the film, right?
I've seen a lot of films.
Like 2 weeks ago.
I've seen a lot of films.
Yeah, but we're not talking about a lifetime of movies, something you saw in 1978. You just saw it. Who is she?
This was in my... this is when I had a... high fever. I don't remember much about that
you
week.
You went to the movies with a high fever?
Well, I was sort of coming out of it on that weekend.
That's contagious, Ralph.
No, of course not.
That's great news for the rest of us, Kevin.
Zero.
Thank you. All right.
I'm
well, anyway, we're very...
I'm watching the movie, but I'm watching popcorn dance.
I kind of very on TV too, and I don't remember most of that. So
very excited about Carla. Regardless of what Kevin says, she's an excellent actress and she's great at everything. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Rob is here now. Time for the showbiz beat, and then we'll bring her in.
Boy, I had a crush on her in Spin City. Did you watch Spin City, the Michael J. Fox sitcom, which was great, by the way. Amazing cast: Barry Boswick and Richard Kine, Connie Britton, Michael, and Carla was in the first season. Boy, did I have a crush on her.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably should tone that down a little
just
bit.
Just a bit.
In case she's listening on the way in. This is a cautionary tale. I'd like to send this out to all the many, many high-powered celebrities who listen to our radio program.
Are those, do they exist?
No, they don't. Okay. But maybe they have friends who will tell them what I said afterwards. I'm talking about you, Gwyneth Paltrow, with your daughter Apple. And all those celebrities who name their kids effed up names. Mm-hmm. Blanket Jackson, Michael Jackson's youngest son, Blanket, has decided he no longer wants to be referred to as Blanket.
What?
Well, it turns out, for years, he has been beaten up and bullied because his name is Blanket.
Now, forgive me, Ralph. I know we've always called him Blanket, and that's what his father called him, but that's not his name.
His
it's a
birth
nickname.
Certificate is Michael Jackson Jr., mm-hmm. but no one has ever referred to him as anything but Blanket because his father insisted on it.
Right.
So, upon entering junior high school, he has now announced he is no longer Blanket. He has changed his name to BG.
What? To what?
BG.
Any letters specific B-N-G? One?
No, B-I-G-I. BG, which is a German word which means idealistic, sensitive, and inspirational.
That is
Stop
no better.
It. Swing and a miss, Blanket.
Yeah, no better at all.
You named yourself BG.
BG.
Prepare for a lifetime of staying alive, staying alive taunts for the rest of your life.
He had a good chance right there.
He had his moment. This was his window of opportunity. Blanket no more. I am now Carl. I am now Brandon. Something. I'm Bill. I'm Bill Jackson.
BG.
BG. Hmm. Growing up, his schoolmates have always been mean to him because of their jealousy over who he is. And
is this going to help?
Going by Blanket made him a much easier target to ridicule, said a family member. When he entered his new school, he told them that his name is BG. And that is what they will call him. Hmm. From now on, we will call you BG. From henceforth, you shall be BG.
But doesn't word... The word gets around, though, to the rest of the kids that he's Blanket, though, right? I mean, people are still going to know he's Blanket, right?
Well, thanks to you now, yeah, you just outed him.
He's just saying, don't call me Blanket.
Yeah. Could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah.
Duvet. I guess we could have changed his name to Duvet.
BG.
And that little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
No, he could not.
What?
Not going to happen.
What is that?
Now that Dave Grohl's leg injury is preventing the Foos from performing at Glastonbury Music Festival in the UK, that left the headlining slot open, and that got filled by Florence plus her machine. The band gets the big pyramid stage slot on Friday, June the 26th, and although Florence herself is still recovering from a broken foot,
yes, she'd be down a wheel to play this.
She's apparently better off than Dave Grohl
this festival.
They made him race. Whoever got to the finish line first got to play Glastonbury, and apparently she hobbled her way to the finish line.
Her, I know this is common knowledge. We just had her at the Weenie Roast, but her voice is astonishing.
Thanks, Bean.
All right. What I'm saying is that Florence Welch is an outstanding singer.
Right.
She's really good.
Wow. Right? Do you just, you can't help yourself? If you have nothing to add, you'll just put whatever's there in your brain out there?
Look, we all know that she's good, but when you actually see her sing live, you're reminded that's not studio trickery, man. She's the real deal.
If we all know she's good, do you feel obligated to say out loud to people she has a really good voice?
There may be people listening, Ralph, who weren't at the Weenie Roast or who have never seen her perform live who may not realize how great a singer she is in person. That's all I'm saying. Just giving her some props.
So you're doing a public service.
Doom, 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 doom.
The more you know.
More you know. Today's celebrity birthdays. These celebrities are born on today, June 18th. Blake Shelton, country singer and, of course, judge over there on The Voice. He is 39 years old today. Paul McCartney, Liverpool's own Beatle, Wing, vegan.
I'm just glad Kevin doesn't hang up on anybody anymore. I'm glad he learned his lesson after what happened with Mr. McCartney and that he doesn't do that.
He did hang up on Adam Nimoy for no reason.
He said live long and prosper.
And then something else.
Out, go into some commercial spot.
Live long and prosper is not an out. It's not a goodbye. Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Well, here's I don't know. It's a crazy idea. But maybe listen to the caller and see if they say anything else first before you hit the button. It takes about a quarter of a second to perform that act. I know it's a radical idea, but I think it's worth experimenting with.
Are you still talking?
How about this? Why'd you turn off the jingle at the end of the game
well,
we were
was
playing
different.
Before
that
you
was,
went to quit? You turned
different.
It off and then turned it back on again before you went to a commercial.
It was a little bit different.
I'm just saying, what's your effing rush? You of all people, what are you in a hurry to get to? Is there some nil-nil match on the pitch that you're missing? But you're going to run out of the studio real quick?
Keep things tight, Ralph. Got to keep things tight. Keep moving.
God, what a douchebag.
Comedian Ben Glebe is 37 years old today, and actress Carol Kane. Boy, is she great. Great on Gotham as Penguin's mom, of course. Remember in Scrooged? She played the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Kevin doesn't remember San Andreas. You think he remembers Scrooge?
I don't remember that, no.
She's 63 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Fresh and local food.
All our next guest is doing is co-starring in one of the biggest films of 2015, San Andreas, and also being on the air with two great series, Wayward Pines, which currently is on the air on, is that on Fox?
On Fox, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah. And, of course, this weekend we're very excited. HBO The Brink is going to be debuting as well. Carla Gugino joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carla.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
Pretty so good. Nice to meet you. You know, you walk in and I go, it's that lady from the TV. And I bet because you're one of those actors who's worked continuously for so long in so many different kinds of TVs and movies, when people approach you, you have no idea what they think they know you from, do you?
That's actually true. That's really funny. Nobody's ever said that, but it is true. There's certain people like... There are certain the son-in-law fans that you can kind of, you know, I can guess or Entourage or certain, but yeah, it's true. I have confused people thoroughly over the years.
Does anybody make you go through your resume? No, where do I know you from? No, it's not that. No.
Yeah.
Seems like a frustrating process.
I have had that conversation.
Do you just pinch yourself that you have been able to, I mean, as any actor, the hardest part is just staying working, but you have been able to stay so busy for so long and do so many different types of things. I mean, no one can accuse you of ever getting into a rut with the roles you play.
Yeah, thank you. I know. And I do feel incredibly grateful that I'm, you know, I don't know. I think I also kind of, when I was an ingenue, I looked like an ingenue, but I didn't really act like one. So I would walk into the room and say, good morning. You know, and all of a sudden I was like, oh God, I don't know if we can cast her in this. So I think I knew that as I got older, I'd probably sort of like find my, I don't know, it come into myself to some extent. But yeah, I think that for a while people were, I remember when I did, I was working on Chicago Hope, this television show, and I was playing a neurosurgeon, and I got the call about Spy Kids. And at that time, I was 27, and I went to play the mom in Spy Kids, which was super surreal, but we pulled it off. And then later, you know, Robert Rodriguez cast me in as like the lesbian parole officer in Sin City, and people were like, what? You know, I think in terms of the day and age of like branding yourself, people were like, I don't understand. But I am happy that it seems to be being recognized as a body of work at this point, which I'm really appreciative of.
Have you ever played an astronaut?
Not yet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's so funny. You know, you start mentioning
that's a strange question.
No. Well, because every role that you mentioned so far, five or six roles in, you play have somebody with a completely different occupation.
I have played a contingency analyst.
Well, sure.
I have.
Do you know what that is, though?
Exactly. I had to look it up.
So, were you an astronaut? Let's talk about Wayward Pines. Wayward Pines.
It's funny that you should mention that because in Wayward Pines, you might not know it, but...
Hey, that wouldn't surprise me about Wayward Pines,
I know,
by
it's
the way.
True. It's true.
All right. Let's talk about Wayward Pines. Kevin, you can't believe what's going on. I know that.
Well, there's only been five episodes that aired.
Yes.
So much has happened in those five episodes.
I know.
It's like four seasons worth has already happened.
They've definitely not been trying to stretch it out.
No.
Which I appreciate. I kind of love that the one that you guys saw this last week, episode 5, you know, has a huge reveal.
Yeah.
And And for me, when they had approached me about the show, when we started talking about it, and they said, you know, we're not going to do that thing where in episode 10 we sort of give you the dun-dun and then you're gone, you know. We're going to actually kind of include everyone in this reality, and then you guys get to kind of see how we try to figure out, you know, what to do. And I thought that was actually a really good idea.
I feel like you should – you, not me, because I would totally screw it up. Let's give a spoiler alert, but try to catch up people – as to what has happened in the first five episodes of this show.
Wow. Okay. You know, I mean, boy, you're this is right? ambitious. This is ambitious.
That's why I'm not trying to.
Let's see how good an actress you really are, Carla.
Exactly. Well, you know what? Okay, let me just give a brief. So basically, Matt Dillon's character is a Secret Service agent. My character also was a Secret Service agent. We were partners. We had an affair. He has a wife, played by Shannon Sossaman. And a son, played by a wonderful young actor named Charlie Tahan. And basically, sort of the precursor to the beginning of this is that my character has left town, relocated to a different town to sort of get away from this situation that's happened. And she is sent in with her new partner into this small town called Wayward Pines, where money is sort of suspiciously being funneled into what should be sort of a Telluride-ish kind of like little nook, and it doesn't make much
so
sense.
So far, kind of believable.
All right.
So there you go. So she goes in, disappears. They disappear. He is Matt Dillon's character. Ethan is given the task of going in to find her. He leaves for it. This is not a great thing with his family. They're not super thrilled about that scenario. But he goes in and he gets in a huge car accident and he wakes up in a hospital where Melissa Leo's character is his nurse. She's a questionable. You're not sure what's
so
going
creepy.
On. She's terrifying yeah. and amazing in it, of course. And Terrence Howard plays the sheriff, and it basically is this really idyllic, kind of perfect, almost like 1950s, you know, town where there are crickets chirping, and very shortly thereafter he finds out that the crickets are little kind of little machines in the bushes. They aren't real crickets, and he starts to go around asking for Kate Ballinger, my character, and. And it's this very small town, so everybody seems to know everybody, but nobody knows her. And what he does finally get out of someone is, well, there's a Kate, there's a, oh, no, I'm sorry, he's looking for Kate Hewson, there is a Kate Ballinger. So he goes, he's like, I don't know, this, you know, he doesn't think it could be possibly me, and he hears this laugh, and it's a very distinctive laugh that he realizes is in fact her laugh, and he looks over and he sees her, she looks very different than she had to him 5 weeks ago. Follows her back to her house. She basically tells him that she's been living there for 12 years. She's married, and she does look 12 years older. She was 27 at the time, and he feels that he was in a motel room with her 5 weeks ago, and she says, I've been living here for 12 years, and I'm married.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are cameras everywhere.
People are listening. She has played this role extremely well. Basically, there are some survival techniques to Wayward Pines, which you're starting to understand what they are. She's been impeccable at them, which is why she's still alive. The one person she would probably, really the one person in the world who I think reminds her of the life she had to say goodbye to is him. And therefore, she does sort of for a moment say, hey, watch yourself, play by the rules, otherwise you're not going to be around for very long. And he doesn't, of course. Ultimately, Terrence Howard. Should I really tell? Should I just?
Well, I'm saying the so that's like episode one or two, right?
That takes us probably into the end of two. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got an audiobook in, by the way. This is very fun for me.
When did she become the astronaut, though? Well, that's funny. That doesn't happen until 8. Okay.
Somebody's telling me a story. I'm enjoying this.
but yes, well, I don't know. I don't think I should say what happened
in 5. He quickly learns that.
Spoiler
Things
alert.
Aren't what they seem, and everything is weird, and you can't figure out why, and then it's like...
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be, maybe I'm too much like my character in Wayward Pines. I think someone's going to come, kill me when I walk out
I'm
going to
say this with a spoiler alert again.
Spoiler alert.
It's like 4,000 years later.
Yeah.
It's after 5 episodes. Now we're...
So what you come to realize is that, in fact, there is no civilized world outside of this town. And this town has been constructed by a very intelligent scientist, played by Toby Jones.
Yeah, he's creepy.
And he's so brilliant.
So brilliant.
He really is just an exceptional actor. There was a point, by the way, where we were all up there and Matt and Toby and I were having dinner one night. And all of a sudden we realized that we had become our characters. you know, Matt was like, I don't know. I mean, this is, you know, it's like we're you know, it's freezing. We're in Vancouver. It's going long. And, you know, and Toby is like, well, I just feel like we should really be thinking about, you know, completely analyzing the situation. And I was like, I don't know. I think it's okay, guys. I think it's like, you know, anyway, we looked around. We were like, we are our characters. But yes, what you come to find out is like the reason. So for example, Ethan been trying to reach out to his wife or to the Secret Service office, and he keeps getting these messages and nobody's answering and he can't communicate. And what we come to find out is that that's, of course, people are answering from the inside. And there are those people, those worlds do not exist any longer.
Dude. And outside the fence is just wasteland.
And outside the fence, and yes, and these creatures called abbeys, which is based on the word aberration. And basically it is sort of devolved or evolved, however you want to look at it, versions of human beings.
They're monsters.
Dude.
So they live in a world that's five episodes.
Yeah, that's where we're at five episodes.
Thanks for helping me out.
So they live in a world with no NFL. What must that be like? Think about it.
No TV.
Yeah.
No live radio shows. I mean, there is sort of a, you know, there's some music which had been sort of occasionally piped in, which is music that is really sort of, you know, this is one guy's aesthetic of what he likes and what he thinks the world should
look like. It's a creepy show.
It is a creepy show.
I love it. we had to take a quick break. Carla Gugino was here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Did you know M. Night Shyamalan before this?
I did not. This was my—
What do you think of him? He's a real super smart guy, right?
He is a super smart guy. We had a great time working together, and he loves actors, and we've become good friends, and we had a blast. I wish he'd been able to direct more.
There is a glitch in his brain, though, where nothing is allowed to be what it seems, though, right? I mean, that's his thing.
I know. He does have that great reveal sort of gene somehow.
Yes.
The show is called The Wayward Pines. It's on Thursdays at 9 o'clock. I think it's off tonight.
It's off tonight, and it's back. So, guys, catch up.
There you go. You have time to catch up. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Actress Carla Gugino in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is a lot of fun. She's one of the stars of Wayward Pines on Fox Thursday nights, except tonight. And she also is in a new show that is debuting this weekend on HBO that looks so great. I feel like, Carla, they've been advertising The Brink for like a year, but it's finally here.
I feel kind of the same way. Come on, let's get it on, guys.
Explain. So you are married to Tim Robbins in this one, right?
Yes. He plays the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. I am a high-powered Washington lawyer who is actually trying to get a judicial appointment. And so I'm really wanting at the sort of start of the show for him to talk to the president about it. She's completely qualified. But as we know, there's so many politics to these appointments. And they have an interesting relationship because they are genuinely in love with each other. They probably respect each other more than anyone else they know. And they also very openly sleep with other people.
All right.
The Clintons.
What, Bean?
Bill. Hillary.
I can't understand that.
Sorry.
I don't speak your language. No,
but that must be fun. That must be fun to play.
So much fun. I mean, the great thing, the Roberto Benabib and Kim Benabib, who created the show, are brothers. As I said the last name, it probably is evident. they are super smart, very politically aware, and really funny. And so, I mean, I think with this, you know, comedy has become a place, and I shouldn't say become, because obviously Dr. Strangelove, which this is paying great homage to, you know, did it so brilliantly. But comedy is oftentimes the place where we can tell the truth. I mean, mm-hmm. That's what's interesting, you know. And so here we have a situation where comedy can allow us to go, okay, here are these very human people who are in charge of very important global decisions and oftentimes maybe not up to the task, you know.
Yeah, I don't like to think of it that way. I see police, you know, different projects where the police officers are crazy or they're having a mental breakdown. You go, I don't want to call that guy. You assume that everybody has stuff together a little bit more than you, I think.
Right, yeah.
What is Tim Robbins terrified to know what's going on in the personal lives of our doctors, for instance, of our politicians, you know, of the people who we put our life in their hands sometimes.
I had an amazing experience, quick side note, when I was doing, when I was playing a neurosurgeon, I got to go watch a brain surgery, and it was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. And I willed myself not to faint because they had told me that I might, because a lot of, like, you know, interns do. And anyway, the doctor was they were listening to music. They were talking about the most recent movies they had seen. Eric Clapton was playing, and he was like, anyone seen Eyes Wide Shut? And I had seen it, but I was like, I don't think I should say anything. I mean, this guy's brain is open.
I'm a guest. There's a
piece of skull off of him. Anyway, so I understand what you mean. But of course he was brilliant, and you know, he's their day job, right?
You know, I do think about this a lot, too, and I'm glad you brought that up about the politicians, because I don't think we're ever going to have an era where we have a Benjamin Franklin and an Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, that caliber of people. I mean, we have to let the world be run by 21st century people who are essentially just like us. I mean, look how young President Obama was when he took over.
I know. When he took over,
he was a guy, what was he, like 44 or something like that? He was running America.
Now he's 74.
He looks it. You're thinking, there's no way this dude knows how to be president.
But I guess you only
have people to choose from.
Exactly. I mean, who does? And we're in the world is getting more and more complicated in regards to how to do that. And so I think that's what I really love about this show, too, is it is definitely, they're for sure very heightened elements. It's very funny, but it is grounded in reality, and the performances are grounded in reality. And that, to me, is what makes it, to answer your question about Tim Robbins, he's a total dream to work with. He also directed the first episode that I did.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he's such a great director, as we know. But he's funny. He, because of his extensive theater training too, he's just really good with improv. So a lot of, you know, the dialogue that's written is fantastic, and then they kind of allow us to sort of run with it as well. And obviously Jack Black is great with that too. And just across the board, Asif Manvi and Pablo Schreiber. Pablo and I had done a play on Broadway together, and I've known Asif for many years, and Tim is one I didn't know. I just think it's an exceptional group of very smart people attacking big problems. You know, it's sort of a comedy. A lot of comedies now, and the very fantastic comedies, by the way, are small workplace comedies.
Right.
And this one, the tableau is huge. I mean, part of it is in Pakistan, part of it is on an Air Force base, part of it is in Washington. So it's like, it's a comedy with very high stakes.
Now, how many episodes are going to be in this first season?
There are 10.
10?
Yep. I'm in 8 of them, I believe. There's 10 this season. I think people are going to – I really like it a lot. When the
commercials come on for it, if the sound is down, it's like you're watching Homeland. And then you turn it up and you go, this is hilarious.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because Roberta Benabib, that was one of the first things that we spoke about, is this show was highly influenced by Homeland, in the sense that that's a show that obviously takes the dramatic angle on this world. And I think in watching that, he was also influenced by, wow, how interesting would it be to come at it from a comedic angle. So you're intuiting it exactly correctly.
Well, I love that it's an HBO show, too, because they just have a level of quality. You know, I mean, all these years, they still rarely miss. If they put it on, it's worth watching.
I couldn't agree more. And I have to say, going into a show like this, too, you know, because there's always been fun made of politics and humor found in it and satire and all those things. And I think now there's a moment in time where it's also there's a lot of sensitivity to that. And I just feel like what I love about HBO is they said, we love this show. We love these people. We're standing behind this. And therefore, you feel in very good hands that the vision of the show can actually come across. It's funny, Jerry Weintraub, when I walked, you know, who's a legendary producer, when I walked in the first day to say hello to everybody, he and I looked at each other, and I think we both thought neither of the other person wasn't going to remember. But the very first time we worked together, and we've not seen each other since, was a movie called Troop Beverly Hills.
Oh, love that movie.
That
wow.
I did, yes. When I was 16, but I lied and said I was 14 to get the job.
Wow. And you thought he wouldn't remember that, and he thought you wouldn't remember that?
Yeah, exactly. I thought, there's no way he's going to remember this. And he was like, well, she's not going to remember. She was only a kid. And we were like, wait a minute, we both remember. So it was kind of a fun full circle.
When you're flipping around, I don't know if you ever even have the time to flip around the TV, do you ever accidentally come across something you did at the beginning of a career, like, you know, Doogie Howser or the Wonder Years or something like that, where you see yourself and it's a total surprise to you?
You know, that actually has happened. That happened to me once with Falcon Crest, where I played a virgin bride, a 17-year-old virgin bride, and I killed my husband with a letter opener. And my name was Sydney St. James. And I did one time flip across it. And first of all, I don't think my voice had dropped yet. I don't know. Are women's voices even supposed to drop? I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know either.
But I was like, just very high. And I don't know. It was really funny to see. It's a very strange thing watching yourself age on screen. That's a very odd, generally not necessarily fun thing, but at the same time interesting, I think, because, you know, you kind of, I don't know, I'm more in my skin now, I guess, than I was too. So there's something interesting. Yeah. I mean, I just did The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon a few weeks back, and he actually is a big fan of he pulled up some pictures from The Wonder Years and Good Morning, Miss Bliss, which then became Saved by the Bell. And looking at those pictures, I was like, when I was that age, inside me, I felt like an adult. I felt like a grown-up. You know, when I look now, and I'm like, I was such a small child.
It's just a little thing.
Do you remember back in 1989, you're on ALF. I have to ask, when you're on ALF, do you walk out of there and go, I am in show business. This is my life.
Are you kidding? Yes. My very first job was Webster. And
Webster.
My second one
Webster,
was ALF.
Webster, everybody. Mm-hmm. And then ALF.
And my second one was ALF. Yes, and I definitely, you know, I mean, those are big gigs when you get them. I mean,
they're
definitely, you're like, I'm actually being paid to do what I love.
But in a million years, if somebody had walked up to that barely a teenager, Carla Gugino, and described the kind of career that was ahead of you, there's no way you ever could have predicted it. You couldn't have imagined that you would end up doing as much as you've done, I bet.
No, it's true. I feel so blessed. And I have to say, I mean, I did, you know, what's funny is that of course, and I say it completely honestly, I was so excited to get any job that I could go and learn on. But the things that influenced me, so it was sort of a funny way to start doing those guest stars on all those TV shows. And it was a way to make money so I could support myself too, obviously, because I got emancipated at 16 and so that my parents didn't have to be on set with me. But I watched Sophie's Choice and Silkwood and I was like, that's what I want to do. So maybe I'm getting closer to my initial aspirations.
ALF wasn't really there yet.
I didn't quite fit in that template, but I was thrilled for it.
All right, last question since you led us into this. So at some point you must have met Meryl Streep and told her that, right?
You know what? I have met her over the years, and I think I did. I think she was one of the few people that I felt just completely tongue-tied with. I had so much I wanted to say, and I think I just sort of thoroughly embarrassed myself, and she then was, of course, incredibly polite while I did it. But it's sort of strange to say to someone that you know has influenced probably more actors than anyone else. Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know,
because she hears that every day, probably.
That's what I kind of figured.
You're the reason I got into acting.
As I was saying it out loud, I was thinking she's heard this every day from people much more interesting than me. But no, she was incredibly gracious.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Well, you are a terrific actress and so smart and so funny. And we're so grateful we got a chance to spend a little bit of time with you. Wayward Pines airs Thursday nights at 9 on Fox, except for this week. And The Brink, which looks awesome, debuts this Sunday night at 10:30 on HBO. Carla, thank you for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Ralph, you meet Miss Gugino before she
did. She is charming and lovely and could not be sweeter.
Smart, articulate, talented. Yep. Man, she was a lot of fun.
She's the real deal. Taller than I thought, too. She's taller.
She tricked you. She was wearing huge wedges. I noticed because I thought, wow, she's tall for an actress.
Listen.
Nope, she's a shorty,
boy,
just like us.
That's a midget being defensive right there, isn't it? That's a knee-jerk midget reaction.
I noticed you looked at her and said, hey, she's got heels on?
When she took the picture with you, I noticed because she was wearing longer pants and she was wearing thick wedges. She's
smart.
Hey,
thank God this conversation will end. Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to join us just after 9 o'clock. And then Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, is going to be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hardcore.
That should be cool.
Right now, let's talking about the bad conversation. Let's talk about Thanks for that Info Bean.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
What are you talking about? Normally, I write stuff down as we go. We get about 9 or 10 of them. We pick about 6 or 7 of them. We make fun
nuggets.
Of them.
It's like panning for gold, usually.
Right.
But you hit main vein, didn't you?
Well, this is while we're playing a song or commercials that you guys get to hear, we get to hear Bean talk. And this happened, was it yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
All right. I'm going to do my best to get through this entire thing, but it is... I mean, I thought he was filibustering for a second.
Now, wait. Hold on a second. Before you
he
read
it. He does not want that bill to pass, does he?
Just wanted to
so you're suggesting that I brought up something that I shouldn't have brought up in the workplace that people would not be interested in? Is that what you're saying? Because that doesn't sound like me at all.
Thanks for that Info Bean.
As you know, the grateful dead are calling it quits.
And by the way, this comes out cold with no conversation about the Grateful Dead.
We're not talking
up to this
about
moment.
Bands no, or concerts or anything.
Hippies or patchouli or nothing.
No one says anything. Dean says, you know, they're doing a farewell tour. Maybe you've heard about it. Nobody said anything. Three sold-out shows at Soldier Field. Nothing. So they announced they were not going to stop, that they're going to play a couple of shows in the Bay Area. So I tried, but I couldn't get tickets. Now, at this point, don't most of us go, hey, no one's interacting with me?
I'm going to keep this story for another time.
So I tried to get tickets and I couldn't. Then I got an email. You know, sometimes you get an email and they said that they were releasing additional tickets, like they do sometimes.
Right, like they do sometimes. All right. Info
B. So far, not a story.
Now you're intrigued.
And I got tickets. I was so excited.
Let the story end here, please, God.
This is the last time to see them, ever.
Okay.
So, as you know, I've got tickets to see Taylor Swift in London. And it's the day before the Grateful Dead in the Bay Area. But I think I can work it out. Still, no one else.
No acknowledgement?
I'm just writing feverishly. Chip is finding me other pieces of paper so I can keep going. Because it's an 11-hour flight. But with the time change working in my favor, I can leave London and then arrive in San Francisco 3 hours later. So that's going to be quite a weekend. Taylor Swift and the Grateful Dead.
But guys, look.
Fetch that info bean.
Standing up.
Fetch that info bean.
We're all fetch friends,
that
right?
Info bean.
No, we're not.
Isn't there a
wait,
thing that?
No, wait. You see,
isn't
you
there?
Ask.
We're colleagues, right? We work together, right?
Okay.
Isn't there a thing where people sometimes who work together have a vacation period coming up, and they go, hey, let's talk about what everybody's doing. Isn't that a thing, a conversation that's legitimate
but
to have?
But did you understand that 100% of the conversation was coming from your pie hole?
That's not a conversation, Bean. That's a monologue.
Because I was telling you guys some late-breaking news that had just come up that had affected my travel plans, and I thought
right?
you would be interested in hearing about the fun stuff I was doing.
And you know what I immediately thought as he's saying all this? I thought, he is now getting pre-tired for Chip to come and visit on 4th of July.
Oh, Chip's off.
This
There's
is
no
what
question
this is
I've canceled
all
Chip.
Leading up to.
A whole other conversation about how he's going to cancel on Chip again.
Yeah.
But why do we give a rat's ass? First of all, about the Grateful Dead or Taylor Swift or what you're going to encounter with your time change in the air.
So you guys aren't at all interested in what anybody else on the show is doing on vacation?
Nope. Didn't say that. We just said
fetch that info bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It's Garmin time. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, before I get to the showbiz beat, let me do a real quick correction, because I'm hearing from lots of Beans people. A lot of Beans people are emailing
what did I do?
And contacting me and getting all uppity and all better than thou and just all up on their high horses.
About what?
Well, we played a little game earlier in the show called Barely Famous,
mm-hmm.
where we talked about famous fictional bears.
Right.
Because we're giving away tickets for Ted, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the answers to one of the questions was about the bear that reminds you that only you can prevent forest fires.
Right.
And the answer we accepted was Smokey the Bear. Okay. To which immediately, when the microphones were turned off, Bean said, oh, it's funny that people say Smokey the Bear, because it's actually Smokey Bear. There's no the in it.
Please notice that I did not bring that up on the air, by the way.
No, you just punished us privately with it. Well, a lot of Bean's people decided to also send strongly worded letters.
They were upset that we accepted the?
Emails, tweets I'm getting from all of Bean's people who are saying that, Please tell your city boy friend over there, comes from listener Steve, it's Smokey Bear, okay? Not Smokey the Bear. It's not Santa the Claus or Easter the Bunny. It's just Smokey Bear. Got it? Right, Steve.
Wow.
Listen. This isn't something we made up, okay? In the early 1950s, this character's been out since the 40s, there was a popular song. A PSA, a song by Gene Autry, of all people, as well as other performers, called Smokey the Bear. It was from the Forest Service, and they allowed this song to go out, and it became a very popular song, and that became common usage for a lot of people for the name of the character. In the 60s, there was an animated TV special, again, authorized by the Forestry Service, called Smokey the Bear. That would have Smokey the Bear. This is not something weird. This is, yes, okay, technically it's Smokey Bear, but some people say Smokey the Bear.
And that's all right as well.
That's what I'm saying. And if you called Gene Autry a liar, sir, I would say to you, you are a communist. Because Gene Autry is not only a great American and cowboy, but he had owned the damn Angels. And here's Gene Autry with more.
With a ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest, always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear.
Shut up!
Tell your friend it's not the proper way.
Ralph, make your point.
People, right? That's my point.
I'm with you.
Who needs them,
right?
Right? Britney Spears. It costs a lot to be Britney Spears. This kind of stuff always, people say, why do you always do that? You talk about the prices of people's homes and how much money people spend on this or that. The way celebrities live, endlessly fascinating to me. The amount of money that is wasted by these people. For those of us who are trying to, you know, live paycheck to paycheck, it's a little mind-bending. For example, Britney Spears had to file documents regarding her conservatorship. You know, her dad still runs her money and her life. Here's some of the items on her expense sheet. Okay. This is money going out. Holiday decorations. I'm guessing that probably encompasses Christmas, Halloween.
Okay.
Arbor Day.
Sure.
What have you. $10,000 per year for holiday decorations.
Wow. How could you spend that much?
That's what I'm saying. Unless you actually staple an elf to your front door, how's it costing you $10,000 for Christmas decorations?
Unless she's one of these crazy people like on that TV special last year where they try to have the biggest Christmas light display in the world.
Maybe.
And I don't think she's one of those.
Does that even cost you $10,000, though?
I don't know.
Grooming. Her grooming cost? $71,629. What does she have going on?
What
kind of hair?
Sounds like ticks to me.
She needs someone. She hires a bonobo monkey to come in and pull fleas out of her hair. And my favorite, pet grooming.
Pet grooming. That doesn't fall under grooming.
Nope.
All right.
This is for her, just her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
$24,000.
How does it cost that much to groom dogs?
Do you have to train the dogs to cut each other's hair? Is that why it costs?
What does she have, pet-wise? Do we know?
I do not know, but I
because it sounds like she's got a zoo. If it's costing her $24,000 a year,
just two dogs, I believe.
Two dogs. Well, that's $500 a week to groom your dog.
Right?
That seems like a lot.
Are they bathing? What are they bathing them in champagne?
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yeah. So there you go. Costs a lot of money to be Britney Spears. But look at the results, huh?
Sure, right?
She's nuts. her good friend Madonna has released an all-star video for her next single. It's called Bitch, I'm Madonna.
That's a great song.
Video features Beyonce, Katy Perry, Kanye West, Miley Cyrus, Nicki Minaj, Chris Rock, Diplo, Rita Ora, Alexander Wang, and Madonna's sons, Rocco and David. You can see them all in the video. You have to subscribe to the Tidal music streaming service in order to see it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
interesting.
I was wondering when they're going to jump that over to YouTube, but so far they're keeping it exclusive.
Yeah.
All right, well, let us know how that is.
So, Bitch, I'm Madonna, her new single.
I have a clip if you want to hear.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
A little bit of this. Yeah,
great.
Wow. Strong.
I don't.
Strong pipes.
I don't see. I wouldn't. It's not a song that I would.
She's growing.
I don't think I'm not subscribing to Tidal to get.
I don't know where the bitch part comes in, but.
Huh.
That's all I have so
that's,
far.
Ralph, her next single, her follow-up single, apparently is going to be called Mom, Stop It, You're Embarrassing Me. So that'll be coming soon. Check that out. Yes, Bean? Yes? Sorry to interrupt your interruption. Go.
No. During the clip, the Madonna clip, I found a website where you can actually see the video if you don't mind.
Oh, great. You have an actual
give
clip?
I have the address.
The website. Okay, great.
If people want to see the video, I just
sure,
want to...
Sure.
It's www.
Got it.
Facebook.com
Oh, dot com.
Slash
R
and then
All one word.
And then?
ROTRKROQ.
Do you spell it the slash?
www.facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
So there you go. If you want to check out the video, it's right there.
Got it. Done. Isn't there another website you could also go to, I think? Didn't Linda Pauly give us a website?
I'm looking feverishly over here for that one.
Didn't she also give us a website?
Yes, she
we could also find the Madonna video?
It would be very funny if we had that right here and we could play.
Maybe she
you can't find that.
That's all right. Sorry.
voicesfromspirit.com/V21/links.htm.
We know you will find it of interest.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. I will find that of interest. Today's celebrity birthday is on June the 18th. Country singer Blake Shelton is 39 years old today. Paul McCartney. He's a guy, right?
He is a guy, yes.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand the question.
I'm just saying. That's a life yeah. to have right there. If you want to be somebody, be it's Paul McCartney. Life. If you have a choice.
He's popular.
Choose Paul McCartney.
I don't think you do have a choice, but
I would like to.
All right.
73 years old today. Comedian Ben Glebe. Our friend and also host of Idiot Test over there on GSN. Very entertaining game show. 37 years old. Actress Carol Kane turns 63. What? I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show as me.
A lot of times people come up to us and they'll say, why do you keep having that Dr. Drew on the show? He impregnates all those girls in the Teen Mom show, yet you give him a slide on that and you let him come on the air. And I say, because we need Dr. Drew now more than ever to make sense of the crazy world in which we live. And he does it with the Dr. Drew On Call show on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. And, of course, here on Loveline at K-Rock as well. Hey, Dr. Drew, how are you, sir?
I'm okay, Bean. I think I feel good about that intro. I'm not sure.
Well, you did impregnate all those girls, according to Bean. So
that's what I heard.
Evidently I did.
Listen, it's getting very confusing to be a straight white man and understand the news anymore, Dr. Drew. And I know you've been talking about it a lot on the HLN show and your KABC show, but we got to talk about Rachel Dolezal, who says, I am definitely not white. Nothing about being white describes who I am. You know what I mean? The closest thing I can come to is if you're black or white, I'm black. I'm more black than I am white. What's going on in her crazy head?
Yeah, that's exactly the right point. First of all, Bean, how dare you perpetrate these microaggressions against me talking about straight men? How dare you? microaggression. Microaggression, I tell you. But be that as it may, this woman, there's a lot more than meets the eye here. There's something terribly, terribly wrong. I mean, she has a sort of an unclear sexual identity, an unclear personal identity, an unclear racial identity. And whenever she's asked a simple question, she is responding with obfuscation, denial, rationalization. Just frankly, let me summarize all those words down to one, BS. She's unable to answer a question straightforwardly or honestly. And the only time in my world that I ever encounter people like that is people with severe personality disorders or drug addicts. That's what motivates that kind of obfuscation. I'm actually more upset with the interviewers than I am with her. She says, clearly, I was born in a teepee. And they ask her, what about the teepee? Might that be deceived as a deception? Well, it depends what you think of as a deception. In my world, and she goes off into some crazy direction, as opposed to the interviewer going, no, stop. You said you were born in a teepee. That was a lie. So what's that all about? Why are we lying here all the time? They never do that to her. And they should be asking questions like, do you dissociate? Do you wake up some days and don't quite remember what happened the day before? I mean, something's terribly, terribly wrong. And I'm fearful that there may be some self-harm down the road for this woman because she is not well. And the irony is this horrible tragedy in Charleston is going to take the heat off her. And maybe she'll pull through this without any real tragedies for herself.
Now, Dr. Drew, if she had been a caller, if it hadn't been uncovered the way it was, and she were a caller to Loveline who was fessing up that she has been living a lie and was dishonest with people for decades with her life, you would have said, what's going on at home? Tell me about your family. Everything I've seen about these parents, I mean, well, what's your take on them? You probably spent more time with the story than I have. They seem like whack jobs, too, no?
There's something going on there, and it might have been traumatic, but it feels a little more biological, I got to tell you. I mean, almost, you know, things like psychopathy, I'm not saying she's a psychopath, but things like that are more of a genetic phenomenon, and you add in a little trauma, and then you get a bad mix. But
how does a woman like that get up to the position of running a local chapter of the NAACP?
That is where people get fat. Kevin, people sometimes with severe personality disorders are the ones that get into positions where they can make real trouble. They often get law degrees, and they often get into positions. I had one woman, I can't give you any details about it, but she was in a position of authority and created such chaos. I couldn't understand what was happening. And I let me tell you this story, an anonymous call from her psychiatrist saying, you need to watch out. This is sort of, she may actually try to harm you. This is sort of an acting out behavior. And then he went on to tell me this, and she seemed like a completely put together person. And he went on to tell me this horrific tale of abuse and homelessness that she lived through. You would never imagine it. And that is often, not often, that can happen. And this case really reminded me of that case I lived through myself.
So that didn't surprise you that you didn't ask that question of how did she get to that point? You've seen that before?
I've seen it before. And you ask about being whether, you know, how I would deal with a caller like this. I wouldn't just ask her what went on at home. We got to start first with her ability to answer questions. She's one of those calls that Mike and I always interrupt, you know, 30 seconds in and go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
right,
I cannot follow
right.
you. I don't know what this is. You have to stop them in their track. Stop it. I don't know what. Just yes or no. Yes or no. TV lie. Yes? Okay. Let's move on.
She identifies as black. She married a black man. She has two black children. She went to Howard University. Obviously, she pursued a career that involved race relations as well. There would be no harm, no foul to any of that if she had just been upfront from the beginning and said, I am white, but this is my passion or this is what I'm attracted to. It's the deception, I think, that is so disturbing to so many people, right?
Yeah, it's the deception, the depth of deception, the lack of ability to answer simple questions, the obfuscation. Yeah, and the fact that if you look at her, she, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I have some reporters at CNN that have piled stuff on my desk. She has made many reports to the police for unbelievably spurious things, claiming attacks and things. It appears that she wrote a hate mail to herself and put it in her own mailbox and called the cops and said, I'm the object of hate mail. And that letter is a rambling. I've only seen ramblings like that from very, very sick people. So, you know, there's something really problematic going on here. And I just think that I'm glad to see the community sort of reeling her in. They're taking her off positions where she can be a problem. Let's get her some help.
Right.
Let's, you know, if stop the lying, say your position, then NAACP, keep doing your good work. But let's really talk about what's going on here.
And she has to know that once you go black, you can't go back, right? She has to know that. I mean, that's rules.
Well, that's how she got into all this.
Bean, have you been holding on to that punchline? Is that why we started talking about this?
Last question for you, Dr. Drew. And I know that you've heard from, I bet 1,000 people have said to you, how is this any different from what Bruce Jenner is identifying as a woman to become Caitlyn Jenner? She's a white woman identifying as a black. What's the difference?
Yeah, and even a more global question is, you know, have we got ourselves into a situation where all somebody has to do is declare their fill in the blank and we just have to not question it? It's just whatever you say, man, whatever you're into. And of course, this is something terribly different. It actually causes that question makes us really focus in on the transgender issues more. And I think the way you would look at that is it's exactly the converse of what's going on with Dolezal, in the sense that these people with transgender feelings were living deceptively all along as their primary gender that they were born in, and they feel like they are shifting from being disingenuous to more genuine by coming out as their real self, as opposed to this woman who goes deeper into obfuscation, deeper into disingenuous, deeper into lack of authenticity. And as you said, that's where the rubber hits the road in this story. That's what's so disturbing about it.
Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. You can hear him with Mike Catherwood on KABC in the afternoons and, of course, 5 nights a week here on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. We always enjoy the time, Doc. Thanks for coming on.
You bet.
Last night, the Los Angeles Clippers unveiled a new brand identity featuring redesigned logos and uniforms as the team has launched into what they call the next era of Clippers basketball. This is an exciting time to be a Clippers fan, says Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. Now, that's a surprise to me, Kevin, because he seems like a guy who's kind of understated and low-key.
Yeah, he's usually pretty quiet.
Yeah, you don't see a guy like Steve Ballmer, you don't see him as a hype man. But apparently he is excited about this era of Clipper basketball, and I believe we have Mr. Ballmer on the phone right now. Is that true? Steve, you there?
He's not actually. I mean, they still are talking in the other rooms.
Okay, so we're close.
Yes.
We're going to ask him that question, though, Kevin. What was your guess? How much money does Steve Ballmer have in his pocket right now?
Probably one of the richest people we've ever talked to.
Yeah.
Got
to
be.
I guess 400.
All right. Allie, what'd you have?
160.
160.
Okay. You said 170, but fine, 160.
I wrote it down, but all right.
Oh, wow. But I think a guy like Steve, I think he's got to have some walking around money to, you know, pay the valet and things like that. I mean, I think he can't be caught with no cash just because that's a bad look for him, right?
All right.
So yeah. I'm going to go $85.
Chip?
I said 50.
50?
Oh, he can mostly carries cards.
But cards says, are not going to help.
Like I'm an idiot?
Right, exactly. Come on, man. You don't understand business.
All right, we're ready.
We got Mr. Bomber?
Yes.
Fantastic. Steve, hey, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank
it's
you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. You have been very entertaining. We love having you in town. And I want to mention right now that Mr. Bomber is at the or on his way to the Sprinkles Cupcakes on Figueroa in Los Angeles. What are you doing down there this morning, Steve?
Well, we'll be giving away some shirts and other paraphernalia with the new Clippers logo, a new modern logo for the next generation of Clipperdom, in which we transcend our history and become kind of this unbelievable franchise for the future.
Now, is this something that you've been thinking about since you bought the team? Is, hey, at some point we're going to want to make a clean break and start over? I mean, was this early on you kind of commissioned somebody to look into a new logo for you?
Yeah, the day I bought the team, I probably got – well, the day we did the fan rally last summer, I probably got 1,500 pieces of email. And of the 1,500 pieces of email, I'd guess 500 of them said, you should change the name or change the logo.
Right.
I thought hard about it. I said, I'm not changing the name. The name Clipper finally means something because of, you know, all of the craziness. It actually means, you know, people who kind of overcome adversity. So I decided I wasn't open to changing the name. We did a little market research that said, don't do that. There's a lot of value now in the name, despite all of the trials and tribulations. But go ahead and change the look to communicate, you know, this is the dawning of a new era. Now, when I bought the team last August, there was no time to change anything. The league has strict rules about when you can do this stuff. So we had to hustle even to get done for the 2015-16 season. After Gillian Zucker came on board as the president of business for the Clippers, she came on in November, and we basically turned this thing around in about 2 months.
Steve, I was a little surprised by the timing of this because it's so close to the NBA Finals, which is sort of a bitter pill for Clipper fans, don't you think?
Well, look, whether we did it this week, last week, next week, when we schedule it, frankly, it could have been the case that the finals wouldn't be over, right? If they'd just gone to a game seven, there still would have been a game to go. We will start to have this thing show up no matter what we do. I mean, T-shirts are being printed. Merchandise is starting to be packed to go to stores by the NBA for the next year. You know, redoing center court. So we knew this thing was going to get out there. We just said we have to pick a date so that we can introduce it as opposed to have it just sort of bleed out, leak out.
Gotcha. So I bet, this is a major decision to make about a company that is, already well-known, entrenched in the community. I bet you looked at 50 different possibilities of what this logo was going to look like. Why'd you choose the one you did, Steve?
Well, the design team, not me actually, said, let's try to keep our existing colors. So you still see the red, white, and blue. Let's add black to the palette because, you know, it's sort of a cool, hip, modern thing. And then people played with a bunch of different logo designs. And I don't know, it was 50, but they may have looked at 100 for all I know. By the time it got to me, it was probably 8 or 10. There were a couple, three I liked. We showed them to some players. There were a couple things players liked to give us some input. We showed them to people in the league office. We showed them to people in the broadcast business. We all kept getting input, we liked this kind of little nautical theme that's a tip to the notion of Clippers. We liked putting a little silver into our logo, just sort of to frame things, the so-called silver lining, which seemed to be a cute thing. And eventually, you know, it does come down to just, hey, you know, I like one better than the other of their final two that made it through that whole court and that whole process, and we picked it.
Are you going to change? You're not going to change the team name ever? I mean,
Okay. Now let me say no. I mean, I never say never.
Yeah,
the answer is never. I mean, heck, how long have the Lakers been out of Minnesota? How long have the Jazz been out of New Orleans? How long, you know? And people haven't changed their names, despite the fact that it was the Minneapolis Lakers because there's a lot of lakes. It was the New Orleans Jazz for the obvious reasons.
I don't anticipate us changing names.
This is the voice of Steve Ballmer here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. By the way, you can go to clippers.com and you can see the new logo and all the stuff that's going on. Steve, what was the playoffs like for you as a first-year owner in the NBA? A lot of highs, a lot of lows. Do you feel like you were going to have a heart attack at some point during some of those games?
A lot of highs, a lot of lows. A lot of highs, a lot of lows. And in a way, you know, there's absolutely nothing you can do as an owner. You're just a fan, and maybe a different. Almost, it becomes almost more because you do know, you know, you do know the team. It becomes almost a little bit more like being a fan of your kid's team. It's still not quite like your kid,
right?
But it's also not like just being a fan who separates. You know, I feel the pain our guys felt when we lost that Game 7 at Houston or Game 6 here. You know, that you feel the pain when you're feeling it through guys who put in incredible blood, sweat, and tears, which our guys had, and not quite getting to where they wanted to get. And I felt, I did feel it. I also felt, you know, the great joy of some of those San Antonio victories. A lot of highs and lows.
Well, I know you have a burning desire to win. How do you improve the team with no picks in the draft that's coming up? Like, what's your plan in the off season here to make 2015-16 the year to remember?
Well, I mean, there are only a few tools. You can trade people, right? Which we've done already a little bit. You can sign free agents, which we have limited ability to do given the salary cap rules, but we do have some ability to do. So you can sign free agents. You can trade for people. We don't have picks, but they tell me, you know, at least you can look at buying picks in the second round. So we have three tools, and, you know, as you've seen, we made the deal to bring Lance Stevenson here, and Doc's looking judiciously at, you know, how to use all of those tools. Some people think, you know, you can kind of do whatever you want, but the way the salary cap works, it's not just about the amount of money you can spend and before you spend the luxury tax. It's actually a complicated set of rules on who you can sign and not sign based upon what you have for payroll. And Doc and Dave Wohl, our GM, are well familiar with that. I'm learning about kind of the complexity of navigating through that, which puts additional kind of restrictions on you.
Sure. Steve Ballmer, by the way, is at the Sprinkles Cupcakes from 10 till 10:45 this morning. So that is coming up if you want to swing on by at 735 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles. And you mentioned your coach, Doc Rivers, is going to be at the Pink's Hot Dogs on La Brea starting at noon today. And our friend Ralph Lawler, too, from the Clippers, the voice of the Clippers, is going to be down there as well. You can get all this information at clippers.com. All right, before we let you go, Mr. Ballmer, this is so great that you have you on. We had a minute to vamp while we were waiting to get you on the phone. And we went around the room and we all put in a guess as to how much cash you have on you right now. We have our guesses in front of us. Would you mind digging into your pocket, Steve, and telling us what you're walking around with today?
That's a good question. I'm getting my wallet out as we speak.
Right. Might be one of the richest people, so we were like,
right.
I have about 12 cents in my of change. Let me see here. Okay, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
A lot of ones, Steve.
7, 8.
He's got to make it rain.
He's make it rain and sprinkles.
$38.
$38. Chip wins.
Chip wins.
Wow, Chip was wins. Closest. Chip had $50 if we thought she was a cheap ass. Wow. $38 and 12 cents.
Maybe you guys haven't learned about credit cards.
Yeah, we haven't.
That's true. All right. Well, that's awesome. Steve, seriously, this was so much fun. We've really enjoyed so much watching what you've been doing with the team, and we wish you the best of luck. Have a great off season, and hope we get to talk to you again in the fall, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44. I've got a question for the witness that causes for speculation, Ralph. We were trying to discuss off the air whether Steve Ballmer, owner of the LA Clippers, is the richest guest we've ever had on the show. And we think he might be.
Do you think not.
You think Mark Cuban is worth more than Steve Ballmer?
You guys talked to Paul McCartney.
Is he worth more? Yeah, Paul McCartney would be
about
the...
$600 million.
But Steve Ballmer just paid $2 billion for the Clippers.
But yeah. That's not cash. He didn't write a check.
I think he did.
He did.
I think he had cash on him.
Yeah.
It was a wallet.
He
had $38 today. Do you think
because
he
gave
$2 billion
for the team.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
We also
so
talked to Richard Branson once.
Yeah. Richard Branson is pretty freaking rich, too. But I think Paul McCartney might be richer than any of them. I think he's, I don't know.
Isn't he like the second richest person in Britain?
Yeah, but this is America, dude.
That's right.
Yeah, America.
I don't think Bomber's personal net worth beats $600 million.
Richard Branson's net worth is $4.8 billion.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Then
he might be the one.
He dwarfs McCartney.
Yeah. Maybe Branson's the richest guy, though. Can't even imagine what it would be like to have a life like that where there's almost nothing you can't see and buy it if you want to.
You also talked to Nick.
Nick the sign holder?
Nick the sign holder. His personal net worth has to be close to $4 billion, doesn't it?
But, didn't even occur to me to put him in the conversation. See? But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm like Mother effing Tupac.
All right,
I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight.
See? I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like Mother Tupac.
You have to be rich to get that high the time.
That is true.
He never works. He never works. He doesn't have to work for a living. He's independently wealthy. He just sits back and writes 1,000-page screenplays.
But he loses.
All right. Speaking of screenplays, there's a new one in the works in the life of Groucho Marx. For those of you who don't know the name, he was the leader and legendary member of the comedy group the Marx Brothers. Iconic comedian on television in the 50s and films, on stage. Quite the life this Groucho led, and they're making a movie about his life based on the book by his personal secretary, Steve Stoliar, who lived with Groucho towards the end of his life, but knew all the stories. What's surprising about this movie is who is making it. It has been announced that Rob Zombie will be developing and directing the film. What an interesting mix.
That would not have been in my top 10.
Would you see that coming, would
you? No.
I've been a huge Groucho Marx fan ever since I was a child, says Rob. I've read countless books on the comic legend, but after reading the book Raised Eyebrows, a totally new perspective on Groucho's life emerged.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
I knew I had to bring it to the screen. It's a sad, funny, very dark tale of one of Hollywood's greatest stars' final years. Oh, I wonder if Groucho's going to kill people. Suckering people into his mansion and hacks their limbs off.
Secret life of Groucho Marx.
Say a word, I'll cut your head off.
I know. Is the Vlasic Pickle guy here?
How dare you! By the way, is not a guy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I know that we have failed in the past trying to get Kevin interested in old things because they're stupid and they're dumb and they're absurd and they're in black and white. But don't you feel like if Kevin sat down and watched A Night at the Opera or Day at the Races that he would enjoy those movies?
No!
They're great! They're so
great!
They are!
They're wonderful! No!
Really?
Aren't they the kind of
comedy that transcends decades and generations, though? Funny is funny, right?
If I played a Beethoven sonata for a ferret, do you think the ferret would enjoy the music?
Hey, am I the ferret in that one?
Yes, you are.
That's not cool.
In that particular example, you would be the ferret.
It's not cool.
Plus, Bean, the vast majority of Marx Brothers comedy is based on wordplay. Yeah. Can you imagine? Kevin would be like, what does he mean he shot an elephant in his pajamas? He would just be confused.
All right. All right, here's the update from assistant producer Christine, who you know does all the research. Steve Ballmer is worth $21.5
billion. $25
billion? Wow. $21.5.
Oh, $21.5
billion. He is number 21 on Forbes' richest Americans list. Mark Cuban, only worth $3 billion.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
Steve Ballmer, $21.5 billion.
So wow. He drops $2 billion on the Clippers, and it's just like, eh, I don't
did
really
you know. Look, did you look at any of the names above him to see if we've had any of them as guests?
Got to be the Oracle guy, right?
Christine, who else good is on the list ahead of Mr. Ballmer, if you could send me that information, please?
Bill Gates. Have you had him on?
I don't think we've ever had Gatesy.
We have not.
Larry Ellison is who I'm thinking, the Oracle.
The Oracle guy, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. We just said we haven't had Bill Gates on.
Larry Ellison.
Jimmy Buffett? Jimmy Larry Buffett's Ellison. On that list?
Happening.
I think Warren Buffett.
Yeah. Maybe you can just send that silently to Bean, Christine.
Well,
maybe
that's I asked her to do that, but
list,
instead
but
she's opened up her yap.
You could just yell random names out during the showbiz beat. That would be helpful. Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl. He effed up that leg. It is effed up.
Yeah, badly.
Not just a bad break in his femur, I believe I want to say. But also dislocated his ankle, which to me sounds more painful even breaking the leg. Anyway, they're going to have to bow out of the Glastonbury Music Festival in the UK because of the injury. However, another lame rock star is going to step in. Florence Welch and her machine will be taking the prime slot.
Now, when you say lame,
I mean she's gimpy. She's got a bad foot. Yeah, she's not lame like the lames. Like oh, the lames. Why don't you pick one of those lames, like the guy from The Bachelorette? No, I'm just saying she's not lame at all, but she's a little gimpy. But apparently she's well enough to step in for Dave and Foo Fighters while Dave heals up, and hopefully he'll be back on stage soon. As soon as he gets up and running. I get the sense that as soon as they let him stand upright for 2 hours, he will be on that stage. Yeah. I can't imagine you're going to be able to keep him off for long. Hell, the guy was there with the break, he was sitting in a chair before me. He might do that now. Who knows?
He doesn't just roll stand around on the stage either. He moves.
Well, we'll just roll him out. He can stand still for a while, for God's sakes. This is kind of cool. If you, like we are a fan of Marc Maron and his podcast, WTF, tomorrow he's going to have a very special guest in his garage where he records his podcast. President Obama will be stopping by.
That's science.
That is science. Then the whole thing will be available on Monday, the 22nd. You can get it via iTunes or on Mark's website, WTFpod.com.
These are facts.
This is a big day for our country, writes Mark, for me and for my cats. I look forward to a respectful conversation with the president. I'm calling it the WTF Summit. I hope he's cool with that. So I guess he'll find out. But pretty cool for Obama to do a podcast. I'm hoping Hollywood Bobblehead's next.
Be so great, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Thanks,
me,
Obama.
Me, Kevin Smith, and President Obama talking about the size of Liam Neeson's penis. It's one of our recurring segments.
That would be great.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio is, well, he's got his own personal idols. We all have our idols, right?
Right.
DiCaprio's is, can you guess? Can you guess what celebrity is Leonardo DiCaprio's personal lord and savior?
Jack Nicholson.
Good guess, Bean. Jack Nicholson is correct.
Wow.
Oh,
Leonardo
really?
Worships Nicholson. Well, they did work together on that terrific film about The Departed, right?
Yes, Departed, The Departed, yes, yes. I think that's why I thought of them together, yeah.
Plus Bean read it.
And,
I did not see this.
He, in fact, carries around a book full of quotes and pickup tips of Nicholson's.
Pickup tips?
He calls it his Bible. And he uses that in his everyday life. The wisdom according to Jack. I guess you could do worse. Friends, however, think that Leonardo will never settle down because he wants to be just like his idol and will end up a lonely old man. To which he probably says, whatever. I'm good. I'm good. Jack seems okay, too. Not a big deal. Justin Bieber has announced he wants to launch a clothing line.
All right.
Just as soon as he learns how to fail at fashion, he says. No, this is true. Those are his words.
What?
He said, I know Kanye has been working on his stuff for years and has failed and came back time and time again. Fashion's definitely really important, but I got to make sure I'm ready for the failing part of it because I know that comes with it. It's not easy. It's not like putting out an album. No, you've already mastered failing at music. Now you have to master failing at fashion. The Justin Bieber line for lesbians apparently will be available in Walmart's everywhere.
Is that right? Have you ever seen a picture of Justin Bieber in any outfit that makes you think he's the least bit interested in fashion?
No. You don't get the sense like, that's a fashionable cat right there.
Right.
It's always a wife beater and his pants down around his hips and usually a bright yellow baseball cap, flat billed with giant spikes coming out of it. That's usually what I think with him. He looks like
a Bieber.
He looks like lightning at Havasu. That's the fashion look I always get off a light of Bieber's. Lightning-esque. Today's celebrity birthdays, country singer Blake Shelton. He's 39 years old today. Paul McCartney, we were just talking about him and how poor he is.
He sure is.
He is a cheap,
man, he's
poor,
got nothing.
Poor-ass,
write some effing
poor guy.
Songs, Paul. Jesus.
Do something with your life, you poor, you just broke bastard.
I'm glad Kevin hung up on him
Me
now.
Me too. I know what a pauper he is. $21.5 billion.
Yeah.
That's his worth?
That's how much.
It's not a company or anything.
Yeah, Bummer, I guess. Yeah.
Nuts. You should have been much nicer to him.
I feel like we were pretty nice.
No. What's in your wallet? Hey, what's in your wallet? You're Samuel Jackson now? Nope. Wrong commercial. Somebody else.
All right, Sam Rubin, move on.
Jennifer Garner. She's your what's in your wallet, right? Alec Baldwin. That's the what's in your wallet.
You're not gonna quit, are you?
Nope. Comedian Ben Glebe is 37 years old today, and actress Carol Kane, who can currently be seen as Oswald Chesterfield Cobblepot's mom on Gotham.
Creepy.
Yeah, she's boning her son on that show.
That's happening.
That is it unnatural.
Why do you think
We had Robin Lord Taylor in here, and he admitted they have a creepy relationship.
He said it's creepy, but it's not incestual, and that you guys
because you
were
can't
close.
Show it on Fox. But when mom is bathing the adult son in the tub
They're
and reaching down under the water
to get more water on the sponge.
To wash the penguin's little mackerel.
You're so naive.
What? Something is wrong there.
Just
keep your head in the sand there, little missy. Carol Kane is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning is Friday morning. We've got the movie beat. We also have Adam Carolla on the program and Allison Hayslip, who's going to be in the studio.
BattleBots.
Talk about the BS show BattleBots.
Talk about your favorite show ever.
In the history of competition, there's never been a battle like this.
Nope.
It's robot fighting time!
We can find out if they're tied
it's
to that one.
It's the biggest battle in the history of competition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember the Allied forces against the Axis powers? Pales in comparison to Turbo Club versus the Goosinator. Whatever these freaking robots are called.
That's why we're having her in. Very excited about that, as you are as well. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.